Silver Streaks Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating in Galesburg. You deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. By Cratty Insurance Agency, your local Rockford Mutual Insurance Agency in Galesburg. By Courtright Construction of Oneida, the right choice for your next project. By Dave's Auto Body in Galesburg, you better call Dave's. By Galesburg Nissan on North Henderson Street, home of the lifetime warranty. By Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. Silver Streaks Football is also brought to you by McDonald's in Galesburg and Knoxville. I'm loving it. By the all-new Galesburg Toyota, the dealership everyone is talking about. By Kehoe Eye Care, they care for people, not just eyes. By Midstate Manufacturing, the headquarters for any of your steel material, fabrication, or powder coating needs. By Century 21 on North Henderson in Galesburg, your local leader in real estate. And by Yam Auto Group on North Henderson in Galesburg, home to Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram. Say yes to Yam. Proud to bring you GHS Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Welcome to Van Dyke Field at F&M Bank Stadium for one final time in this 2018 football season. The Silver Streaks with a record of 1-7 to battle the Granite City Warriors coming in at 4-4. And final pregame ceremonies wrapping up with the band, of course. Band members, senior band members also being honored tonight. And we want to wish the marching band best wishes and good luck tomorrow as they head off to their final competition of the season at the University of Illinois, sort of the king of all high school competitions. And it's been a terrific year for the Silver Streaks, or for the marching streaks, I guess I should say. Not the Silver Streaks marching band, but the marching streaks. It's been a fantastic year, and hopefully they'll cap it off with another great performance tomorrow and come home with some more hardware. All right, taking a look here tonight. Jake, I saw the guys all go out for the coin toss, and then I didn't watch.
Did you either?
So we'll find out who's going to get the ball, right. I guess. Sophomores won tonight, 57-22. The quarterback for Granite City that's already had so much attention here, even in our pregame comments, Freddie Edwards, a 6-foot, 190-pound junior. You heard Marty Turner say, maybe the fastest player that they've seen all season. He's incredibly mobile, and he can throw on the run. We were watching him in warm-ups. Jake, I know you like the way he throws the ball.
Yeah, throws a great ball, and he's going to present all kinds of problems for the Silver Streaks tonight. The wind's dying down. It's not going to have an effect on his ball. He throws a tight spiral into it anyway. So, yeah, I tell you what, it's saying something when you're talking about a guy that says he might be the fastest that we've seen all year when you talk about the two running backs at Quincy, the two in Moline. So, I mean, that gives you a little precursor of what we're going to see tonight.
It's been interesting to see kind of how Granite City has fared this year when they have played teams that are comparable in size to them in terms of enrollment. They haven't fared so well. Alton handled them pretty good last week. They played Belleville West earlier this year and did not fare well in that game. And then when they play teams that are a little bit smaller than them, in fact, they played a St. Louis team out of the same conference that St. Louis Sumner was in, which the Silver Streaks played last year in week three, and that game was over in the first 3 minutes. And these Warriors routed that team out of that conference as well. So they're 4-4, and they really have been kind of all over the place, scoring a lot of points and giving up a lot of points. The Silver Streaks are going to kick it off. James Hayden hits a line drive down the middle of the field, and it's taken in the air at the 5-yard line. And the run back by the running back, Jerry Watson, up the middle of the field, slips through some tackles and then wrapped up back behind the 30-yard line. He got up to the 30, maybe a little bit across, and then started to slip out of the pile. And then the Silver Streaks chased him down on the far side, and Kobe Ramirez wrapped him up. And the Warriors will start from the 29-yard line as we get this game underway. So the running back, Jerry Watson, 6-foot, 205-pound senior. And then they'll put four wideouts on the field more times than not. Brennan Haddix, J.V. Wilson, Reed Wilson, and Justin Wiley, three seniors and a junior. Pretty good mix of players, including a freshman who starts on the offensive line. And they start out of the shotgun, kind of a delayed handoff, and it goes to Watson coming to the outside, slips underneath some tackles, and then finally gets bumped out of bounds on the near side as Nico Delegionis finishes him off. But Watson picks up the first down across the 40 up to about the 42.
Interesting there. The quarterback and running back ride their mesh on that read draw longer than what we've seen all year long. And those are two dynamic athletes that the Streaks are going to have to contend with there is no hoping one carries the ball more than the other. They're both going to be tough to handle.
First down from the 42-yard line, out of the gun. And the quarterback trying to get to the outside, slips a tackle behind Chase Castile, gets up to the far side of the field, gets the first down into Silver Streak's territory, finally stopped up to the 40-yard line. He picks up 18 on the run. That's Freddie Edwards, the quarterback. And in two big plays, they've moved 31 yards downfield.
Yeah, as Jake mentioned, not only are they athletic, but they're also good size. You know, the quarterback comes in at 190 and the running back's at 205. So they, you know, have some meat to them as well. So they're quick, they can run, and they're big.
They don't waste any time. Back quickly to the line of scrimmage. Out of the shotgun again. Edwards with a keeper right up the middle of the field. Another first down, breaks free, and he takes it all the way for the touchdown. A big hole across the middle, and once he got into the Streak's linebacker territory, he had a lot of field in front of him, and he finishes it off with a 40-yard touchdown run.
Jake, would you say that was just a quarterback trap all the way?
Yeah, there was nothing special about it. I mean, a little bit of a flash handoff in front, but this is up in between the tackles. And I saw our linebackers widen out, and I thought initially that's a good idea to widen out because it looks like they want to do everything on the edges. But they sure took advantage right through the middle there of the Streak's defense, so we got a quick score already.
They will send in their kicker, who does well, at least the place kicking and the field goal. That's Chase Reeves, just a sophomore. A little bit of a high snap, but he gets the ball down, and the kick is up and through, and it's 7-0, only 39 seconds into the game, a three-play scoring drive that covered 71 yards in just, again, three plays and barely half a minute.
Yeah, you know, it's just, I don't know if you want to, if you have to get used to the speed of this. This is a different type of team. This isn't the grinded out, you know, kind of bang it out thing that we saw last week against Alamann. It's completely different. You can't replicate this speed at practice. Hopefully the Streak's going to answer here and then hopefully get acclimated to what they're seeing out there.
Well, in terms of teams that the Streak's played in recent years, I guess the first one that comes to mind, at least just based on what we've heard about these guys and what we've seen on the opening drive, is Peoria Central. Peoria High, yeah. The last couple of years.
Yeah, one of the things that's very difficult to replicate in practice, you know, throughout the week is game speed. You know, and you might know, you watch film, you might time how long it takes them between snaps before they get one off. But in terms of having a scout team run a play that they run at the pace in which they run, at the quality in which they run it, it's hard to replicate. So, you know, oftentimes a defense wants to be able to just kind of hold on to that first series just to get the pace of the game, and we were not able to do that there in the first series on defense.
All right, we told you Reeves does the place kicking and the field goal, but it's actually Austin Bonvicino, a 6'1", 225 left-footed senior who does the kickoffs, and he rolls one to the 25-yard line where Delajonis picks it up, and then looks like he tripped over the 30-yard line, and he'll be down at about the 32. I don't know if he just tried to change directions, got caught up in his own feet. Not a bad return and not bad field position for the Silver Streaks on their first offensive drive. So definitely one of those kinds of games, guys, I think, where you have to talk about playing a little bit of defense by offense. Put some drives together, keep their offense off the field for a while.
Yeah, that should be the goal tonight. And I, you know, I think going in, looking at these guys, that if you're going to win, you're going to have to outscore them tonight.
Under center, Aiton. Goes to the handoff to Kobe, running left, bounces off a player, then cuts back to the middle where there's not much room there either, and Kobe picks up a yard on first down. And let's set the Streak's offense for the final time this season. David Vaynerman, the fullback, along with Ramirez in the backfield. Connor Aiton, the junior starting quarterback, who's been in that position all nine games this season. The starting wideouts, at least, Justice Gatson and Dewan Pulley, and the Silver Streaks have adds some depth to their receiving core as the season has gone along, including with Chase Castile at tight end. Now Aiton drops back in the gun, rolling right quickly. Now tosses it, nearly complete at the 40-yard line, but dropped by Vaynerman. Would have been a couple of yards short as the ball just led him a little bit too much. And coming off a season-high 32 pass attempts last week against Alamann, Aiton comes out throwing on the second play of the drive here, and it's already 3rd and 9.
We've seen that play multiple times. Jake's talked about it all season. That's a flood, and you have three levels to throw to there, and he was throwing to the second level, which is right about the first down stick, first down markers, and like you said, just out of reach for Vaynerman there off his fingertips.
Dewan Pulley and Vaynerman split out wide to the right, two wide outs to the left, including Ramirez and Gatson. Short drop by Ayton. Looking right, pump fakes, and gets sacked back at the 25-yard line. The second pump fake costs him, as blasting through the line came Reed Wilson, a 6'2", 215-pound junior, and that'll take it back to the 25-yard line, and the Streaks will have to punt on 4th and 17.
Yeah, we need to catch up to the speed of their defensive line, too. And it's just, unfortunately, this is kind of a disastrous start here for the Streaks. We got to get a good punt off and a real dangerous return man back here as well.
And that's Jerry Watson standing at his own 36-yard line. Hayden's punt is high and short. He gets plowed over, but no flag comes down as the ball takes a huge Granite City bounce backward. As Hayden got run over in the backfield, but the official chose not to throw the flag, and they're going to have outstanding field position at the Galesburg 36-yard line.
A net. It looks like that's going to be an 11-yard punt, which doesn't help matters either.
So Granite City already leading 7-0, takes over on offense again, 2 minutes 12 seconds into the game after the Silver Streaks lost 7 yards on their opening drive. Now it looks like Edwards changing the play call at the line of scrimmage. He's got the running back Watson lined up to his left and 4 wideouts. They go right up the middle with Watson, and he carries the ball to the 30-yard line for a gain of 6 on first down.
And we've yet to see these guys put the ball in the air. You know, this is only their 4th offensive play, but it's basically been the same thing either time. You're just going to get a dual read, and the Streaks are going to have to defend the quarterback and the running back right now.
Watson's carried it twice for 19 yards. The quarterback Edwards twice for 58, including a 40-yard touchdown on the third play of the game. 2nd and 4 from the Silver Streaks 40. Hands off to the left side, trying to cut to the outside as Watson now cuts inside close to the 20-yard line where he's piled up and dragged down to the 19 for a gain of 11. And they move the chains. Hard run and a strong run by Jerry Watson. And it's a first down for Granite City.
Well, what we're seeing, I think, up front is the push they're getting off. Our defensive line's kind of getting pummeled at the snap, and we got to really stop that swing, that pendulum that swings back and forth. We really got to get our feet down in the grass and stop that momentum and that push.
In a battle of winless teams, West Central with a big 26-10 lead on United. That game in the Lincoln Trail. Swing pass to the outside. It's thrown complete to J.V. Wilson. Running up the far side. Gets to the first down marker at the 9-yard line where the Silver Streaks stop him there. But it should be a first and goal for the Warriors on the first pass of the game by Freddie Edwards.
Little now screen out to the right. And the Streaks, you know, playing very soft, especially over number 2. They're going to have to, you know, this offense just presents a lot of things defensively that you have to be concerned about.
So first and goal for Granite City. 4th play of the drive that started deep in Galesburg territory at the 36. Out of the shotgun, they run up the middle with the running back Watson. Gets to about the 6 where the Silver Streaks contain him and bring him down. As we approach the 8-minute mark here in this opening quarter, Granite City with an early 7-0 lead and already deep in the Silver Streaks red zone looking for more. 2nd down from the Galesburg 6, 2nd and goal. They'll send 2 wide left. 1 in the slot left. And the miscommunication on the snap out of the shotgun. It still squeaks free. And now picked up in the backfield by Watson. Tries to hurdle a man going up the far sideline, and he's brought down out of bounds at about the 3. The ball just kept squirting free, backwards until it found its way to the running back Watson. And you heard Jake down on the sideline saying, oh, no, because that's the last guy the Streaks wanted to get the ball, and he made something positive out of it.
Yeah, unfortunate break, right, Sean? I mean, it's just the ball's bouncing around, and guys are diving, and ball's squirting everywhere, and it just goes right into the athlete's hands.
Yeah, and you talk about, you know, maintaining leverage on the outside. Don't give up containment. There's a ball on the ground, you go for it. Well, the ball bounced right back to him, and he's able to get outside and pick up a few yards.
Picks up 2 to the 4, and now a flag, and Granite City is applauding.
Looks like encroachment.
There's the pointing the direction of the Silver Streak, so that'll be half the distance to the goal. So a recovered fumble keeps the possession with Granite City, and now 2 more penalty yards makes it 3rd and goal at the 2. Hard count maybe inside there. We can only anticipate. Awfully far away from where we are, but yep. It's third and goal. Just inside the two-yard line and another flag.
Flag on a play.
And now the line judge on the far side is going to come back.
Neutral zone. Now this could go either way.
Talk it over with the referee, and here's the signal. Yep.
Yep.
Well,
yep.
Well
on the offense. Encroachment on the offense?
Yeah, yeah that's, well, that was not the right signal.
No.
He lined up in a neutral zone as way he did. He was across the ball. Whether it could have been a hand of a lineman, a helmet of a lineman, it could have been a receiver that didn't get the correct positioning. But somebody on the offensive side was lined up in the neutral zone.
So first penalty against Granite City. Now takes it back to about the 7. Third and goal, Warriors. 7:39 to go, opening quarter. Granite City already up by 1. Pass play. A little
incomplete.
Pass across the middle is overthrown. And he had Jerry Watson in the end zone looking back at the official. Begging for a penalty on a pass interference against the Silver Streaks. He wasn't buying it. So it brings up fourth down, and the Streaks hold, at least for the moment, defensively. It appears that they're sending the field goal unit out.
Yeah, lots of different players got the field goal unit out. So, you know, this could be a big hold here for the Streaks deep in their territory to at least hold them to a chance for 3.
Be careful how you use that word hold. After last week, we don't like to associate holding in the Silver Streaks as many times as they got flagged for that. Let's not put anything in anybody's mind.
Yep.
Okay, so this is Chase Reeves, who kicked the extra point earlier in for what's about a 23-yard field goal. A little bit mishandling the snap, but they get it down, and the kick is good. And it's 10-0 Granite City. Let's take a timeout. 7:33 to go, opening quarter. Warriors by 10. You're listening to Galesburg High School Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Live coverage of GHS Silver Streaks football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Arby's. They'll hang the big hat up on the sign so you can see it. By attorneys James Blake and Tricia Blake Miller at Blake Law Office in Galesburg. And by Dickerson's Photography, encouraging you to come out and catch all the action of local high school sports. Go Streaks!
They may as well call it Botox for your house. New siding can turn an outdated home into a total head turner. If you're ready to give your home's exterior a complete overhaul, call the visionaries at Courtright Construction of Oneida. Visit CourtrightConstruction.com, the right choice for your next project.
Nobody covers the Silver Streaks like 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Galesburg Sports.
Six-play scoring drive for Granite City that started at the Galesburg 36-yard line. They moved 29 yards in 2 minutes 9 seconds, capped it off with a 23-yard field goal, and the Warriors lead at 10-0 as the kick goes on the ground, end over end, out of bounds on the far side of the field. And the Silver Streaks will have it at the 35-yard line. 7:33 to go here in this opening quarter. Well, I guess, guys, you know, you look at the situation. The Streaks got off a really short punt. What'd you say, Sean? It netted 11?
I think 11.
So Granite City starting that drive at the 36. Given how easily they moved 71 yards in 3 plays on the opening drive, I think that's a minor victory for the Streaks to hold them to 3, given that field position.
Sure, and that's what I talked about is adjusting to the pace of the game. It takes a series to get that feel, and certainly we weren't ready that first series of defense, but we did a much better job there second time.
So the Streaks went 3 and out offensively on their first drive. Let's see what they can do here in the second possession of the game, trailing by 10. Out of the shotgun, Ayton hands off to Kobe. Nice little crawl across the right side. Breaks free into the middle and almost slips a tackle. Dragged down from behind, but he gets all the way close to the Granite City 35-yard line and a touchdown-saving tackle by Montre Sneed as Kobe had a nice hole across the right side of that Streaks offensive line, and he made him pay.
Yeah. Broken arm tackle right there at the line of scrimmage and was able to get off to the races. Now, most of the teams we play, he gets into the defensive backfield like that. He's not going to get caught. Tonight, there's a couple guys back there that ran him down and saved a touchdown.
30-yard gain by Kobe. Flips it from 135 to the other. At the Warrior 35-yard line, first down Streaks trailing by 10. Out of the shotgun, Ayton hands to Kobe again. Bounces to the left side. This time, a flag comes flying in from way in the backfield, and that'll be a hold against the Silver Streaks.
Yep.
Where was it, guys? On the outside?
Yeah, it's on the perimeter on the left end.
Tight end or tackle?
Like Quincy.
I don't know. Yeah,
it looked like Quincy Beers probably got a hand up in the upper chest area, or maybe even the face mask, because I saw a head jerk down pretty hard.
So the second penalty against the Silver Streak. They were flagged last week as many times as they'd been flagged in a game all season long, 13 times. We mentioned some of the holding calls earlier, and there was still some frustration when I talked to Mike Washabaugh about that, and of course this week's game, even yesterday when we visited, but he wasn't blaming the officials. Silver Streaks had plenty of opportunities, but as he said, you know, they'd been flagged for holding a handful of times at the most through the first seven games, and the number of times they got whistled for that last week was very frustrating. Here's Ayton on the rollout, finds David Vaynerman complete at the 35-yard line, so they get the 10-yard penalty back, and it'll bring up second and 10. First completion of the game for Connor Ayton. And Vaynerman's become a more useful and dangerous wide receiver here late in the season.
Sure, and he's not, you know, the fleet of foot kind of guy that you wish you'd have, but he's sure-handed, and he runs a great route, and he, I believe in terms of sheer numbers, he's still leading the leading receiver for the Silver Streaks.
He winds up on the left side of the field with last week's leading receiver, Dewan Pulley. Here's Kobe with a handoff to the right side, spins off a tackle to the 30 for a gain of 5, and it'll bring up 3rd and 5 Silver Streaks in what may be two-town territory anyway down here at the 30-yard line, but let's see if the Streaks can just convert the third down here and not leave any question about it.
Probably the Streaks are, sorry, Sean, the Streaks trying to get back on schedule. You have the 10-yard penalty, and it's hard to get back on schedule. And you get a 3rd and 5 after a 10-yard penalty on first down, you're doing pretty well.
So 3rd and 5 Silver Streaks. Last few weeks have been much better on third down. In fact, the last 3 weeks. Still just 33% for the season as Kobe gets to the outside and steps past the first down marker, out of bounds at the 24-yard line. Granite City strung that one out, but Kobe still was able to get to the corner and turn it and gain 6 to move the chains.
What I was going to say earlier was going back to Vaynerman and the fact that, you know, a product of that is when you have him line up in the backfield and you run plays that look like it might be a lead play or an ISO play, and then he just slips right out into the flat, and that's where he's able to get a lot of his yardage because you have a running back behind you in Kobe Ramirez, and the defense focuses on that, and they kind of lose track of that lead blocker.
Streaks have it packed in tight here. Two wideouts to the right side of the field. Ayton with a play fake, rolling right, pump fakes. Now throws it short at the 20-yard line and a flag down as looked like Chase Castile got dragged down from behind before he had a chance to catch the ball. It'll be a pass interference penalty, and it'll move the Streaks from the 24 down to about the 12.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one, Jake. Yeah. I think he had some room to run there, but
lots open field in front of him, and then he tried to fit it in when Chase was double covered there and tried to fit it through that window, and guys are draped all over him too. So obviously we're going to get the penalty, which is good. Connor he's got the ability. Use those legs.
Yeah, well, that was completely set up by the play action, the fake
great
handoff.
Play action.
Because the guy that should have had contain on the defensive left side totally bit on the fake handoff, and he was nowhere to be found. That's why it was so open if you wanted to run it.
So first down, Silver Streaks down to the 12-yard line. On the pass interference penalty. Streaks pack it in tight. Ayton hands off left. Kobe trying to get to the outside and slowed down right at the line of scrimmage and then piled upon for no gain, and it'll be second down.
What we're seeing right now, Sean, is a lot of team defense on this Granite City side, and what we've seen that we've been successful on is been able to do some misdirection. You can take advantage of that speed using the play action pass and the counters and the traps and those kinds of things.
Yeah, they're very aggressive. They get to the ball. We just saw there it took one guy to get Kobe off his stride and maybe cut back a little bit. Next thing you knew, there were three Warrior helmets that were right there on top of that. So they're very aggressive, and that's why the play action and those type of things work, because they are flying to the ball, and if the ball's not there, you can trick them easily.
Second and 11 after the loss of one, Streaks down 10. Ayton flushed out of the pocket, trying to make some room to run, trying to bounce to the outside, slips past a tackle, gets to the 10, steps out of bounds at about the 8-yard line. As they strung Connor all the way out to the right side, the near side of the field, but he made positive yardage out of that. Gets the one back, plus 4 more, and it'll be 3rd and 6 for the Silver Streaks here inside the 10-yard line. There's those legs you guys were talking about.
Yep, that's definitely in his arsenal of things he can do to move the Silver Streaks offense. It's not always going to be the perfect pass. The guy's not always going to be open. The route's not always going to be perfect, so you got to improvise sometimes.
Ran it 12 times for 36 yards last week against Alleman. Streaks trailing 10-0 here, 4:40 to go opening quarter. They send trips to the left, three wideouts left, a tight end right as Chase Castile Kobe in the backfield gets the handoff, cuts up the middle to the five, breaks for the goal line, and he takes it all the way for the touchdown. 8-yard touchdown run for Kobe Ramirez. Streaks cut the deficit to 10-6 on Kobe's 10th rushing touchdown of the season.
Did a good job there of making one guy miss. You know, that's one of the things you want to try to coach a running back is to, if you can get one guy to miss, all of a sudden the odds go in your favor. He made one guy miss, and he's able to cut through the defense and score. Nice run.
And the Silver Streaks muddle, as Jake calls it. Three bunched up to the right. Now the Silver Streaks are going to bring it in traditional and just let James Hayden kick for the extra point.
Yeah, they're a player short, too. Yeah. That's
I noticed that.
So he runs out. And
Hayden 13 for 14 on extra point attempts this season. Good snap. Ayton gets the hold down. The kick has plenty of distance.
Good.
Gets inside the left upright, and the Streaks are down 10-7. 4:36 to go, opening quarter. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football at 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Protecting the quarterback on the field is a lot like protecting your home with the proper insurance coverage. If he or your home gets sacked, chances are you might not win the game. Hi, I'm Mark Craddy with Craddy Insurance, your Savea Mutual Insurance Agency in Galesburg. If disaster strikes, don't be caught off sides with the wrong coverage. Our money-saving auto home discount is the perfect play. Stop by Craddy Insurance on North Henderson Street and find out why Craddy and Savea Mutual Insurance Agency are the best protection in the area for your team.
Stay connected with local news headlines in your email inbox with the WGIL Morning Brief. It's free. Subscribe now at WGIL.com.
Silver Streaks put engineer a seven-play scoring drive that covers 65 yards in 2 minutes, 57 seconds. Kobe Ramirez's 10th rushing touchdown of the season for 8 yards. James Hayden with the extra point. And the Streaks are down 3 now with 4:36 to go here in the opening quarter. Hayden lines one just above the turf up the middle of the field, taken on a bounce at the 6-yard line. And the run back by Logan Gordon to the far side of the field crosses the 25 to about the 27 where this drive will start. So those are the stats on the drive. And Jake Miller has some other important stats to pass along here that involves. Now, we've already talked quite a bit about assistant coach Jay Barshinger, and we want to work in some news about another assistant coach here, Jake.
Yeah, big night for the Streaks, guys. If you get a chance to see Coach Swanson, who's, I'm sure, up in the booth right now, but at about noon today, Coach Swanson became a father for the third time again. He had a baby girl, Grace Margaret Swanson. She was a 10-pound baby, very healthy. Swanee says to tell everybody mom is doing just fine as well. So congratulations to them, and tell them if you see him.
And we see him to our right, and we will certainly pass on the congratulations as the Streaks defend this nicely as the handoff goes to, or actually the quarterback keeps it, and the Streaks defend him up to the 30. Gain of only 3. This will bring up 2nd and 7 as we approach the 4-minute mark here in this opening quarter of the final game of the regular season.
I can remember a few years ago when I was – we talked about this early in the year when I was at with the Dunlap game.
Mm-hmm.
Our middle son was born – a couple hours later, is about, I don't know, my wife would probably shoot me not knowing the time, but it was 2 o'clock somewhere in there. But she'll remember. But I did not come back to that game. It was down at Dunlap. I stayed in Galesburg for that. So, you know, good dedication there from Coach Swanson as we see a false start here by the offense, moves him back 5 yards.
Third penalty of the game against the Warriors backs him up to the 25. It'll be 2nd and 12 here. Sophomores won big tonight. Great start to the evening. They scored not even a minute and a half into the opening quarter. Ended up going on to win 57-22. Here the varsity trails 10-7, 3:40 to go in the first quarter. Back to pass. Across the middle of the field, a diving attempt at the 45-yard line comes up short. And a good effort, but just couldn't ring it in. Would have been a first down, but it'll bring up 3rd and long here instead.
Well, that was, Jake, I don't know if you saw that, but really we're trying to disguise what we're doing up front. We got guys jumping around. Nico Del Giannis back at free safety was up on a line of scrimmage there, but he dropped back at the snap. But on the far side there from us, we had, who is that? That would be a Demetrius Pulley, who was having to guard 2 guys, and that where Del Giannis was not able to get back. So that was certainly a mistake. That worked out in our favor.
Rolling left, the quarterback strung out. Now he's going to cut back over to the far side, and he throws it behind him, and he throws it over his intended receiver back at the 20-yard line, and a flag down on the near side of the field.
We're going to have a legal man
down the field.
Number
50.
Yeah.
And the streaks
so they'll decline
yeah,
that.
They'll decline yeah. the penalty on the third down incompletion. Good defense by the Silver Streaks. In fact, I saw Vaynerman stunting at the line of scrimmage. He started to line up right, then bounced to the inside quickly, and all of a sudden the play came rolling back to the outside, and the Streaks really strung that one out, contained it well. Good defense downfield as well, as quarterback Edwards couldn't find a receiver.
They waved
it
off.
They waved the flag off, so no penalty. And it's incomplete, and now they force Granite City into a punt. So it started off as an inauspicious beginning for the Silver Streaks, giving up a 71-yard scoring drive in just 39 seconds. This game has settled in here a little bit. Streaks anticipate getting the ball back here. Trailing by three with 3:26 to go first quarter. Punting duties for Granite City fall to the quarterback, Freddie Edwards, and he boots one downfield over the head of Kobe to the far side of the field. Kobe surrounds it and then backs away from it, and Granite City downs it at the 29-yard line. And he picks it up and immediately tosses it to the official who was running in and almost got hit in the head with it. He was not ready for that.
Could have lost a couple of teeth there for that back judge.
Speaking of lost teeth,
uh-oh.
Did you see in the Astros-Red Sox game last night, who was it? Somebody stealing second and the ball popped off his head. He was going in head first, and the helmet popped off his head and came back up, hit him in the face. And he chipped a tooth. Gosh, who was that? You guys didn't see it, I did.
No.
I watched the game, but the bigger news is that it was an American League game and actually somebody stole a base.
Two nights ago, I guess.
Right. Nobody steals in the American League anymore.
That's right. Halftime, Farmington with a 32-12 lead over Knoxville. All right, Silver Streaks down three with the ball, starting from their own 29-yard line. Hand off to Kobe. Flag comes down as Kobe breaks free into the secondary. Two men chasing and dragging down Kobe all the way down to the Granite City 29-yard line, but a flag right in the middle of that whole play will probably negate it all.
Yeah, I saw that from the beginning. They stunted their line at the snap of the ball to the
holding.
Defensive right, and we ran the ball to the defensive left, and so we had a big hole there to run through. Unfortunately, we had a holding call. It's going to negate that run.
And a groan from the Gelsberg crowd down beneath us here on the press box side. So that'll pull that one back. Second hold against the Silver Streaks in this game. Negates a big play.
You know, the thing that's different, Sean, about how these guys coach when we did is now they have the assistants have those iPads in their hand, and they can essentially see a replay of that last play. And so, of course, Coach Washbaugh is asking for what the number is, and then they go and they can instantly see who they need to correct and if it was a hold or not. There doesn't seem to be too much argument about that hold down here.
Out of the eye behind eight, rolling right on the play action, throws it underneath and complete to David Vaynerman, but no chance to advance after the catch as he rolls to the 21-yard line, so a short gain, and it'll bring up second and 18.
And that's one of the advantages of those iPads is the fact that you have some immediate feedback that you can give to a player, something that you can see. You can pull a kid out real quick and say, hey, here's what you did on last play. Here's how to correct that, instead of waiting till Saturday, Sunday, or Monday when you go through film. It just saves a lot of time. And up here next to me is Coach Barshiger, and he has his iPad, so I'm able to see those replays from time to time as well.
2:15 to go, opening quarter. Streaks down 10-7 with the ball at their own 21-yard line, second and 18 here. Empty backfield for Aiton out of the shotgun. Pump fakes left, throws right to DeJuan Pulley, and the defense in the backfield immediately. And no gain, in fact, a loss, as Justin Wiley had great penetration in the backfield, and they'll back it up to the 16-yard line and a loss of five.
Streaks going the wrong direction here as we've had a penalty, and then obviously we got a little screen pass there, and they just were not able, offensive line-wise, not able to get out. These corners are pressing, and that little now screen is not usually a good play call against a pressed corner. So, you're going to be conservative here. Probably you'll see the Streaks hand the ball off and hopefully get a good punt away. Or
let Kobe break one.
Exactly.
He's done that a couple times in this game. In fact, he did one on this drive, but it was called back on a holding penalty. They go to him. There big hole across the right side. He cuts up the middle to the 25, tries to slip a tackle, and brought down at the 28-yard line, so he doesn't even get back to the original line of scrimmage. I don't know. I thought if Kobe kept running right toward the sideline, I thought he would have had more room to run, but he saw it differently down on the field, and it'll be fourth and 11. Much easier for me to call up here in the press box where I can see it without having to make a split-second decision.
Yeah, we've always talked about the amount of field vision, how good Kobe's field vision is. And, you know, not going to always get it right, and who are we to say that? You know, a good run nonetheless almost got us back to the line of scrimmage here, so it's 4th and 11.
Good protection for Hayden. Gets a better punt away, spinning end over end, bounces at the middle of the field, takes a big Gillsburg bounce, hits at the 47-yard line, rolls all the way down to the 30, and the Streaks down it there, where Granite City will take over. 36 seconds to go here in the opening quarter, and the Streaks trailing 10-7. Granite City ball at the Warrior 30-yard line. Well, as we said, this game has really settled in. It opened very quick. Streaks, on their first offensive possession, went three and out. Granite City already leading 7-0, got the ball at the Streaks 36-yard line. But Gillsburg's defense held firm, held Granite City to a field goal, came back. Streaks scored. It's 10-7. That's where we stand with 36 seconds to go here in this first quarter.
See, Jake, we're troublesome here because we only have one guy out covering. Here comes the guy.
Yep, Streaks scrambling on defense. They seem to be set. And now a handoff up the middle and a good read by the Streaks. Nowhere to go for Jerry Watson on the handoff as he gets back to the original line of scrimmage, and that's it. No gain on first down.
That was Tafflinger in there on the tackle, I believe it was, and Giles maybe.
Elias Giles recognized on senior night here tonight as well, along with Caden Tafflinger. Number of seniors. Big senior contingent of the marching band, competing at the University of Illinois tomorrow on a big day for them. Play fake at the line of scrimmage, and then the pass bounced to the side and incomplete, intended for J.V. Wilson, and very quickly third down for Granite City with 1.3 seconds to go at the end of the quarter.
Yeah, Sean, they went right back to what you were noticing earlier, the way we're guarding their twins on this side, and I certainly don't like the matchup as we've got Chase Castile against a much faster number two out
here. Slot receiver,
much faster slot receiver here, but you know, you can't guard everything, and sometimes you have to give things up, and Chase played that well.
Third and 10, back to pass, flushed out of the pocket, rolling to the near side.
Bad
Edwards
angle.
Could cut, and he does. Gets it to the 30, the 40, a first down at the 50. Jukes past a man, slips a tackle in Gillsburg territory to the 40.
Oh,
a tackle frees him up at the 30. Now down to the 20, he's going to the far side of the field, trying to beat Pettis for the corner, takes it all the way.
No flags, Jake.
A scrambling touchdown. I don't see a flag anywhere on the field. And he runs it on third down as he's flushed out of the pocket for 70 yards on the final play of the first quarter. That was the biggest concern for the Silver Streaks coming into this game, is Edwards' playmaking ability. And he did it with a little bit of blocking help downfield at times. But mostly that was his elusiveness and his speed.
Well, I'll say, too, you know, yes, they're athletic, but we had a couple of opportunities there where we missed tackles, too, that could have stopped that long run. So, you know, yes, he's athletic, but we've got to be able to be, when we're in position to make the plays, we've got to still make the plays.
So Reeves in for the extra point as Granite City goes up 9 here as the play ends the first quarter. The extra point attempt coming, the snap, the hold, the kick. It's 17-7 Granite City at the end of the first quarter. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
I hate my bathroom, but it's the only one in the house, so if we have it remodeled, where are we supposed to go?
If you only have one bathroom in the house, being without it for long is not an option, which is why a lot of folks put off that much-needed remodel. But a custom-fitted acrylic bath system from Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating can be done in a matter of days. You can pick a variety of colors and styles, and it won't chip, crack, stain, or fade. Plus, no more grout. I'm Neil Thomas. Get your beautiful new bathroom at 342.
WGIL, proud of our connection to Galesburg.
Hi, it's Michelle Bazzari from WGIL, reminding you that the Knox County Museum on Knoxville's Public Square will be hosting a Night at the Museum Rewind on Saturday, October 27th, starting at 6 p.m. Learn about historical Knox County figures as they come to life. To find out more, click on community events at WGIL.com.
Locally owned WGIL. Local radio hosts, local news, keeping you connected. Find out more anytime at WGIL.com.
I'm Will Stevenson. If you vote outside the city of Galesburg and Knox County, your polling place may change. We'll talk about it Monday morning during Galesburg's Morning News on WGIL.
17-7 Granite City at the end of one. Freddie Edwards, a 70-yard scramble for the touchdown. His second of the night for the Warriors quarterback. He's got 4 carries for 131 yards.
That's good.
A squib
that
kick
good.
Picked up by Pettis across into Granite City territory to the 40-yard line. as they went short, tried to catch the Streaks off guard. Pettis wasn't having any part of it, handled it cleanly, and the Streaks in Warrior territory at the 40 to start the second quarter.
You know, that's risky because he's the front line there to pick up the ball and run. He has nobody blocking for him. So all the yardage he got there, I mean, you talk about somebody doing something on your own. Pettis certainly got his cleats in the grass and took off there to get that yardage.
174 yards of offense in the first quarter for Granite City and a 10-point lead as we start the second quarter. Streaks shift. Bierce,
they did not adjust,
and Vaderman to the right. Handoff goes that direction. Kobe trying to bounce to the outside, cuts toward the middle, backs his way across the 35 to the 34-yard line for a gain of 6 on first down. Kobe had 61 yards and a touchdown of his own in the first quarter. And he picks up 6 here to bring up 2nd and 4. Silver Streaks trailing by 10.
Yeah, we changed the formation by moving 2 guys from the left to the right. And I didn't see any shift. Did you, Jake, with their defense at all?
No, they did not adjust one bit. And we ran to the strength there. And I'm sure the coaches are taking note of all of that.
Yep.
So we're going to spread them out and see how they adjust the trips. 1 cover, 2. They're going to walk out another linebacker.
Out of the shotgun, Aiton. Hands off to Kobe. And that goes nowhere. Gets hit twice short of the line of scrimmage, and he'll lose a couple, and it'll bring up 3rd down. Geneseo needing a win to get playoff eligible. They come in against DeKalb, 7-1 on the season, and the Barbs lead 27-8 with over 7 minutes left in the first half in that game. So Kobe loses 2, brings up 3rd and 6 for the Silver Streaks. I mentioned earlier they've been better on 3rd down in recent weeks. The last 3 weeks, Galesburg has gone, I had it written down here, 17 of 31 in the last 3 weeks on 3rd down conversions. Prior to that, they were just over 20% on 3rd down conversions. 3rd and 6 here, Aiton back to pass, good protection. Now he's flushed out of the pocket left, running for his life, slips past 2 tackles, now tucks it in and runs upfield to about the 35-yard line where he steps out of bounds, and about all he can do is get back to the line of scrimmage after all that scrambling and good coverage downfield. He couldn't find an open receiver, and it's 4th and 6.
Yeah, no change of personnel here, at least no significant change. So the pooch punt, of course, is still in play here, but I'm probably going to guess here that we're going to see a play. And, Sean, I'd like to see these guys go vertical. Looks like a lot of cover 0.
Yeah, I noticed that, too. Yeah,
played here by Granite City.
Yeah, on the perimeter, we put it trips out there. They're not a man coverage. So, but on that last play, they played it very well.
Yeah.
Downfield, they stayed with their man. Even as he got flushed out of the pocket and our receivers adjust the routes, they still stayed with him.
So on 4th and 6, Aiton looks right, throws that direction, and
short,
just underthrows Vaynerman
nice
a little bit at the 30-yard line.
Caught
Did
it.
They say he caught it?
Yeah,
I think it's short.
Well, he reached down and got that one right at his shoelaces, and he's a yard short of the first down.
Is that Vaynerman's 3rd reception?
Yes.
Yeah, and unfortunately for all 3 of those, he's had to catch the ball and fall down with the location of those.
Yeah.
And if we could just pinpoint that a little bit better and he's able to, you know, to turn his shoulders a little bit, he's going to get a 1st down there.
Yep, comes up just a yard short. So Granite City takes over. Early 2nd quarter, 10:15 to play, leading by 10 here. And they'll have it at their own 31-yard line. So the Streaks fail to convert on 3rd or 4th down and give the ball back to the Warriors, who have had 2 big scoring plays for a 10-point lead here. On a delayed run up the middle and good room to run.
Graham on the carry.
And that was
Warriors 1st down.
That was 1, wasn't it? Yeah.
Oh.
No, 5.
No.
Who do we have there?
Richard
Graham. Uh-oh.
The flag on the play.
Yeah, after the teams are heading back to get lined up. And
Taflinger.
Yep.
Yep, unsportsmanlike conduct penalty against the Silver Streak. So somebody, apparently, Taflinger or somebody, was down there saying something that shouldn't have been said at a time when it shouldn't have been said. And that's going to cost the Streaks 15 ill-timed yards. So it went as a gain up to the 43-yard line. For 12, and now 15 more. And that will not make the coaching staff happy by any means. It's going to move the ball into Galesburg territory down to the 42 now.
No, anytime that you're giving away yards, you don't like that. I mean, you're going to have times where you might hold it's part of the game. Those penalties take place, but here's one where we give them 15 yards because of whatever was said on the field.
So from the Silver Streaks 42-yard line, Granite City already leading by 10. Out of the short gun, Edwards maybe changing the play at the line of scrimmage. Looked like he was going to make a call. And now the handoff up the middle. And the Streaks defend it well, bouncing Graham twice at the 40-yard line and then pushing him backwards. So he picks up two, and it'll be second down. You guys saw movement, though, huh?
I did. Jake, did you see that?
I didn't know where you were looking there. I didn't see. I mean, our guys are bouncing around and moving around, and the quarterback's doing a good job of mixing up the snap count and keeping up off balance there. But I didn't see.
It looked to me like the right tackle switched his hands that were down.
Can't do that.
No. Or at least he picked it up and rocked or did something.
They give Graham just a yard, second and nine. Out of the shotgun, play fake. Pass across the middle is complete. And the catch made by Reed Wilson, cutting to the far side of the field, and he takes it all the way up the far sideline for the touchdown. Reed Wilson, a 41-yard pass, catch and run from Freddie Edwards. Third touchdown of the game that Edwards, the quarterback, has been involved in. And Granite City now up 16 with an extra point pending. Now they're really starting to open up the playbook.
Yeah, there's just a lot to cover. And this is a talented offensive unit with a lot of athletic weapons out there. And Chase Castile, unfortunately, kind of on an island and one-on-one. And he was covering the guys, just his back was turned to the quarterback. And he read that, and the guy's off to the races.
Their third touchdown scoring drive of the game, and all three of them have been three plays each. The extra point is good, and now Granite City leads 24-7 on senior night here at Van Dyke Field at F&M Bank Stadium. Galesburg down 17, 9:07 to go in the first half. You're listening to Galesburg High School Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
A convenience store that's actually convenient. Crosstie Convenience at 2121 East Main Street in Galesburg is celebrating their grand opening all day tomorrow. So stop in and get a free Jones Soda or Farmer's Brothers coffee. Check out the new place and make note of all the cool things you're going to want to come back for, like the Jones Soda Fountain Machine, a great selection of 16-ounce beers, and all four flavors of Iron Spike Brew, plus snacks and such on the cheap. They even have booths in case you want to hang out for a bit and shoot the breeze. Crosstie Convenience across from the Holiday Inn Express, Galesburg, now open.
93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL and WGIL.com.
Brad Benowitz, Sean Hickey, Jake Miller here with you at Van Dyke Field. Sean McCutcheon, our broadcast engineer. Silver Streaks trail Granite City 24-7. 9:07 to go here in the first half. Moline, a 22-3 lead over Stagg out of Palos Hills. Also Mercer County, a halftime lead over Mid County, 21-12. And Anawan Weathersfield with a 24-0 lead over Stark County. The squib kick up the middle, scooped up finally at the 20-yard line by the Silver Streaks. And some room to run for Dylan McBride at the 40, to the 45, and dragged down at midfield at the 50, where he falls across into Granite City territory. And just that little bit of a mishandle on the squib kick across the middle allowed the coverage to get downfield enough that when he scooped it up, he was off to the races with some room to run and a good run back by McBride.
And certainly that's the type of thing that we need right now to lift the megrims we have going on with the early part in this game here of being behind 24-7 and really hopefully get the offense going in the direction we need to.
So Silver Streaks start this drive in Warrior territory. The blitz is on. Ayton swings it to the outside, and Dewan Pulley brought down immediately by the tackle made on the far side of the field. I think that was Wilson who came in and dropped him as soon as Dewan caught that one. And Pulley, the favorite target last week with 8 receptions, has 2 receptions in this game for -8.
Yeah, that now screen might just have to get put in the back pocket for right now, because their corners are too physical for our wide receivers and too fast for our offensive linemen to get out and block for that. So we're going to have to find, I think, a different way to move the football.
Yeah, that was senior Justin Wiley on that tackle out there. That was a very nice play that he just put on for us.
3 wideouts to the right side. Empty backfield for Ayton. Back to pass. Blitz is on. Slips a tackle.
Late.
Slides left and then overthrows Justice Gatson across the middle of the field. Incomplete, and very quickly it brings up 3rd and 13.
you know, not a completion there, not a positive yard gain, but I saw something that was very well done by Cody Thomas. He picked up the blitzing linebacker, and that backer timed it very well coming through the line of scrimmage there, and that was a nice pickup by Cody Thomas.
And he didn't get, and he didn't hold either.
No, no.
Just fended him off enough. Yep, I was watching that too, only because it was in my field of vision watching Connor try to scramble out of that. 8-10 to go first half. Streaks down 24-7. Third and long here with the ball sitting just between the 48 and the 49 on the streak side of the field. Gelsberg needing something positive here.
Screen.
Short snap picked up by Aiton. He gets it to Kobe complete. Kobe's got the first down. Up the middle of the field to the 30. Far side of the field to the 10. Going for the corner. Touchdown, Silver Streaks.
No flags. And I believe with that touchdown, gentlemen, I think Kobe just tied the career touchdown mark here at Gelsberg for touchdowns in a career, obviously, as he's been doing this since his sophomore year up here, scoring touchdowns. So I think that ties the career mark, if I read the Register Mail article correctly today.
For Kobe Ramirez, his second touchdown of the game, his second receiving touchdown of the season, and his 12th overall for the year. The screen pass goes for 52 yards, and the streak's down 11 now with Hayden in for the extra point. The snap, the hold, his kick is a rifle shot that misses left.
You know, one of the things notable about Kobe's run after the catch was, I talked about it earlier, he made one guy miss. And he made that one guy miss, and he was able to get his jets turned on, and he had the whole field to cut through. And nice blocking downfield to note as well.
Right, it was a perfect play call. I mean, we're talking about we're going to have to find ways to take advantage of this really athletic and aggressive defense, and that screen play is definitely in there. The middle screen to our quarterback, or to our running back, excuse me.
So the Silver Streaks respond with a three-play scoring drive of their own. Goes 49 yards, takes a minute off the clock. And the screen pass, the catch and run by Kobe of 52 yards. The extra point, no good. It's 24-13. Go ahead, Sean.
Oh, you know, I was just going to say that's the type of play that we need going in right here. Now what we need is a defensive stop and a nice kickoff here, defensive stop, and get the ball back going in for halftime.
And I tell you, you know, we cut to break there right after their last score, but Coach Turner very upset with his defensive unit, chastising them the entire way off the field. Hopefully trying to get them to understand what they need to do and try to fix some of those mistakes. I think, you know, to me it just sounded like he was talking about effort and attitude as opposed to just X's and O's type stuff. And we need our guys to match that intensity out there.
Yeah, and you're right, Jake. I mean, anytime that you let a guy go gambling down the sideline, that's not going to be a good result.
Geneseo game has gone half. As they trail DeKalb, 27-11, the kickoff by Hayden into the end zone, and a touchback puts Granite City at the 20-yard line. 5-1 Brewers over the Dodgers in the third inning. In that game, Brewers needing a win to stay alive in the National League Championship Series. 7:58 to go here, first half. Let's tell our listeners, Sean, what's coming up at halftime.
Yeah, earlier in the season, we were able to get to meet up with Mindy Ritchie, assistant principal, and talk about the clubs and organizations that the high school has to offer. With that segment, we were only able to do about half of them. So this halftime show, we have the second half of that. We're going to be looking at some academic and what we call whole school type of ones that are going to be for anybody to get involved with. It's going to benefit everybody, like the reflector for the yearbook or the budget for the journalism class in the school newspaper. And then, of course, as we always do, we have Principal Houston.
And you guys even look ahead a little bit, this being our last What's Good at Gelsberg High School interview, and I appreciated the fact that you guys didn't just end it with this week, that you looked a little bit into the future there as well. So that's coming up at
halftime. Yeah, and you know, I think the thing that we focused on was the Haunted High School that's coming up a week from the upcoming Monday. The date is fleeting me right now, but from 5 to 7. So this is something that the school is putting on, a student council is doing. It's a community event, and it's going to be inside, so it doesn't really matter about the weather and the main floor of the square there at the high school. The rooms will be decorated, and student council will be handing out candy.
The date is the 29th.
Thank you.
It's my daughter's birthday. That's how I know
is
that.
It?
Hesitation. Ooh. Run, and then shooting forward is the quarterback, Freddie Edwards. But the Streaks contain him. A gain of one on first down. This goes as a gain of five, and it brings up third and four, and a good chance for the Streaks to make Marty Turner a little happier than he was on that last drive. They can get a big defensive stop here, 3rd and 4 from the 26.
Extremely important down here for the Streaks to try to get off this field.
Trailing by 11 with 6:50 to go in the first half. Out of the shotgun, Edwards, with his running back Watson lined up to his right, or to his left, rather. Two wideouts to the right, one to the left. Short drop. Edwards looking. Now steps up in the pocket. Slips past some tackles. Slips past another tackle in the secondary. Up the far side. Freed up by another block down to the 40. Through another ankle, jersey tackle. On dragging defenders all the way down inside the 20 to the 14-yard line, where he is finally brought down after a big third down conversion by the Warriors again. Just elusive and slips, and he's hard to bring down. And we can see why this coaching staff was so concerned about his playmaking ability coming into this game.
My hunch was right. I want to say that was someone that made that tackle, 55 yards downfield?
59 yards.
Was Cody Thomas. Well, yeah, but in there as well was a defensive lineman who pursued that play and stayed with it all the way downfield. And hung on to be a part of that tackle. That's good effort.
Absolutely.
The quarterback, Freddie Edwards, 6 carries, 195 yards in the game. As they go to Watson, to the far side of the field, still battling, getting close to the 10-yard line. Looks like he'll be officially marked down at the 12 after a hard run where he leveled over at least one Silver Streaks defender, I think was Castile. And it'll be 2nd and 6. They're going to mark him right at the 11. Watson's been contained a little bit more, 7 carries for 38 yards. Edwards, the quarterback, has done all the damage, though. 2 long touchdown runs and a pass play. Granite City leading by 11 and looking for more here down at the Galesburg 11. Streaks show blitz. They flush Edwards out of the pocket. Now pressure from the backside. Cuts back and frees himself up with time to look downfield. Throws it into the end zone. Deflected. Ooh. And almost picked off by the Silver Streaks. It falls incomplete, and it'll bring up 3rd and 6.
Did Dylan Jonas tip that?
Yeah, he tipped it, and then it went off of Chase Castile's face mask.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been, obviously.
I think Castile would have gotten it if it wasn't deflected.
Maybe, yeah. And we saw Dylan McBride come off his man here and try to pressure the quarterback to make a throw. If he had looked over here to the sideline,
he left his man.
Yeah, there was an individual standing here with nobody around him. But, you know, you can't see everything. And hopefully here the Streaks continue to contain as well as they can. Roll out. This is a design run.
Certainly two down territory. Edwards steps up. Now he gets stopped at the 9-yard line and pushed backwards. Streaks surrounded him, and he wasn't coming out of that one. So he picks up 2, and it'll be 4th down.
Is that Cody Thomas again, Jake?
Yeah, Cody Thomas leading the way. Elias Giles in the middle of that, too.
Yep.
And those guys kind of bear clawed him up there, and there was no way he was getting out of that.
No. Well, that's what you need. We have 3 of our down linemen on defense are seniors, and this is the type of night you want to have for them and continue that success.
Actually, going to spot him down at the 10-yard line. Field goal unit does not come out this time after a field goal earlier in the game from not much closer than this. And on 4th and 5 with 4:50 to go in the opening half, they're going to go for it, leading by 11. Edwards with the short gun, rolling left. Has a man open in the flat to the outside, but he looks toward the middle of the field instead, and he's wide open at the back of the end zone and caught for the touchdown. And Granite City, with a big 4th down conversion, extends the lead by 17.
You know, this kid just breaks the backs. You know, this is twice now in a big 3rd down conversion, and scrambles, and then we get a big 4th down play here, and he just hits the guy in the back of the end zone. It's just he's making the big plays, and right now the Streaks are kind of left trying to pick up the pieces here.
Aaron Barnett with the 10-yard touchdown reception. And the extra point pending with 4:36 to go in this first half. The hold is down, and the kick is good, and Granite City now leads 31-13. 4:36 to play, 2nd quarter. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
WGIL is proud to be connected to Galesburg.
Hi, it's Katie Carlson from WGIL, reminding you that the Roseville Amish School will be hosting a benefit supper on Friday, October 26th, starting at 4:30 p.m. at the St. Patrick's Community Center. Grilled chicken, mashed potatoes and gravy, and more will be served and will also be available for carryout. To find out more, click on community events at WGIL.com.
This community announcement is brought to you by the staff and local ownership of WGIL, involved and connected to Galesburg.
The only thing the Democrats have, get rid of Republicans because power is ours.
The Rush Limbaugh Show, starting at 11 weekday mornings, WGIL.
Seven-play scoring drive by Granite City. The Warriors cover 80 yards in 3 minutes, 22 seconds. A 10-yard pass play from Freddie Edwards to Aaron Barnett. And a fourth down touchdown conversion. Fourth down conversion for a touchdown. And Granite City now leads 31-13. And another squib kick across the middle of the field. Silver Streaks pick it up. Vaynerman at the 30-yard line. Fumble. And the ball pops free at the end of the play, and Granite City recovers at the 50-yard line.
Oh.
Vaynerman got stacked up at the 45, was trying to slip out of it. The ball came flying out, and nobody was around except the white jerseys of Granite City, and they have it at... They're going to be at the Galesburg 49-yard line with 4:30 to go in this first half, and already an 18-point Warrior lead. So at the Galesburg 49-yard line. And the offense right back on the field. Defense needs to stiffen up here. Guys were talking off air about some things the Streaks might do in the secondary. Kobe Ramirez is in at safety. They go down the middle of the field that direction, man open. He never turned around to look for it. Reed Wilson was open.
He was.
And he never turned around to look for the ball coming within a yard and a half of him, and it falls incomplete.
Yeah, and, you know, Kobe's in at safety, and then he got behind Kobe there,
he
too.
Did,
you
yeah.
know? So it's
if he's in a cover three, if he's a back guy, nobody
right.
should be getting behind you.
Right.
Rich South leading United Township 21-0. Rich South comes in winless. Of course, we know the struggles that United Township has gone through. They won only one game, and I'm sure they were optimistic about finishing off with a win, but they're down 3 touchdowns in their game. Streaks down 18 here, 4:25 to go first half. The pressure is on, screen pass, and it's complete to the running back, Watson, and cuts back up the middle of the field. He's got some room to run. He's going to take it all the way. He cuts to the left, and there is nobody within 20 yards of him. And that goes as a 49-yard touchdown. Another big play by the Warriors, who now lead by 24 with 4:14 to go in the first half. 49 yards, 2 plays.
Just a lot of missed tackles bad angles and stuff that I, you know, to be quite frank and honest, I mean, you got to call it like you see it. This is not something I've seen. I mean, it's not that Granite City is putting something, a product on the field that is so special that it's overwhelming, but it's just the angles we're taking to the ball and the tackling is just not been up to even what the Streaks are capable of doing.
And I think we had 4 guys right there for that screenplay that we failed to make the tackle.
We weren't even blitzing.
No, I thought our guys read it well. We just didn't execute it.
Yep.
PAT's good.
And it comes after the Streaks fumble on the punt return.
Kickoff return.
It's on the kickoff return, excuse me, yep. So the extra point now makes it 38 to 13. So by way of comparison here, they have 4 touchdowns in 7 minutes. I can't do the math. 7 minutes, 46 seconds. Yeah. Because they scored on the final play of the first quarter as time expired. So Granite City has really opened up a lead here, taking advantage of the Silver Streak mistake on the kickoff return. And you said earlier, guys, if you're going to win a game like this, you're probably just going to have to outscore them.
We're missing a guy.
And now the Streaks are going to have to rally back and outscore them. And the defense hasn't been able to make any significant stops here as Nico Delagiannis runs onto the field and the Streaks have the necessary personnel out there. So right back to another squib kick here coming from Bonvicino, and he puts that one in the air to the far side. It goes over Nico. Miscommunication picked up by Dylan McBride. Running left, cuts up the middle of the field. He's got some room to run. At the 40, gets a block upfield. Dylan trying to get past. He had the kicker to beat Bonvicino, who took Dylan McBride down in Granite City territory at the 37-yard line. And that sparks the Silver Streaks, at least momentarily. Dylan's had some nice runbacks this season since he's been inserted into that position about midway through the year.
Yeah, and he's had two outstanding returns tonight, setting up good field position. And I think that was what led to our last score, was it not?
Yep. The Streaks have really had great field position on the kickoff. The Granite City has tried two different kickoffs, two different guys kicking off, two different styles, and for the most part, with the exception, even on the fumble, it was going to be good field position for the Streaks.
Right. Their defense is scrambling. They don't look ready for this. Out of the I formation, they go to Kobe. But defensively, they get into the backfield very quickly. And Keon White was there to stop Kobe for a loss on first down.
Sometimes when the defense is confused, it actually causes confusion on the offensive line, too. They don't know, you know, you're expecting to block a certain player at a certain place. And when they're not there and confused, sometimes it leads more confusion for on our side, too.
Yeah, like a loss of gap integrity where you have two guys in one gap and you can't block two guys and they end up coming through. Not what you want. I mean, if we had ran that to our offensive left side, we could have, you know, got a lot more yards out of that, but we didn't.
Thinking big picture here with the Streaks down by 25, if they can score here at the end of the half, they get the ball back to start the second half. Rolling left eight, and here comes the pressure. He stops. The man slips past him in the backfield, and he overthrows Kobe on the near sideline. Connor was able to see the blitzing defensive player coming at him out of the corner of his eye, so he was able to freeze. The defender ran past him, and then Connor got the pass away, but it was incomplete, and very quickly now, third and 12. Go to the screenplay again? Surely not. They would be expecting that, I would think, after they...
Yeah, I don't know if
got it to Kobe for 52 yards last time.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you bring pressure here? I mean, because last time you brought pressure and we scored a touchdown on him. So I'm going with no here.
Empty backfield for Ayton. Three wideouts right, two to the left. Little bit of pressure. Now Connor flushed out of the pocket. He escapes Bonvicino, rolling left. Still under pressure. The defender falls down. So Ayton can square up, throws it down the sideline, and Kobe drops it at the 20-yard line. He had the first down 7 yards past the marker. The defender went for it, and when he missed, Kobe was wide open, and he just dropped the ball. That's been an issue at times this season, and it's fourth down.
Personnel change, Jake. Looks like we're going to be going for it here.
Yeah, I mean, right now it's just Giles came off the field and looks like it's that Wettstein that came back on. But, yeah, I think he's going to be going for this.
Silver Streaks trailing 38-13, 3:03. Still a lot of time to go in the first half. And the Streaks will go for it on fourth down. 54% on fourth down conversions this season. Ayton looking long down the middle of the field. Castile open, caught, 10-yard line, bumped down at the 5 for a first and goal for the Silver Streaks. Chase was wide open right up the middle of the field, and Ayton found him in stride, and the Streaks are in business. They'll mark the ball at the 6.
It's a fantastic little catch, a great route, and we've seen Chase, you know, come open a couple times, a big catch there at Moline, too, and that was a perfect route, and I think that's the number one receiver that Connor's looking for on that play, and it worked out great.
And the throw, too, hit him running stride.
Yep.
Big fourth down conversion for the Streaks. First and goal from the 6. Handoff to Kobe. Bounces out of the pressure to the left side, but he's still in negative territory where he's wrapped up and rolled down back at the 10-yard line as a defensive end, Reed Wilson, kept right with him step for step, and Kobe couldn't break free, and it's a loss of 4. Second and goal, Streaks.
Play was designed to go to the right. Things were kind of stopped up there, and Kobe makes his jump cut and tries to get around the left end and
wasn't
able to turn the corner.
Clock down to 2:10 to go. Still plenty of time for the Streaks with the ball spotted just outside the 10 of Granite City. Short side of the field to the left. Ramirez lined up with Ayton in the shotgun.
Good keep.
Connor on the keeper. Has room to run, and he breaks, sprints right up into the touchdown.
well-designed play there. Everybody
it's hidden very well at the line of scrimmage. Yeah,
everybody looking at Kobe on that. Even my eyes went that direction, and Connor pulled it out and went virtually untouched.
Well, definitely showed his speed on that play, too. Go ahead,
John. On that play, Jake, are you reading the direction that Kobe's going or the direction in which Connor would go? Which end are you reading?
Oh, he's reading the would have been the end on the offensive right side.
Okay.
So he'd be reading the end and the direction Kobe was going.
Fifth rushing touchdown of the season for Connor Ayton. James Hayden in for the extra point with a minute 55 to go in the first half. 57 points already in this game. Hayden's kick is good, and that gets the Streaks back within 18 here. And let's see if the Streaks can put together a good defensive stop here with a minute 55 to go and all of their timeouts remaining.
Yeah, talk
That's
about
the key, though.
Yeah, talk about this game in a pregame about, you know, what are we going to see? If we see an offense that goes really fast and it could really slow the game down, or it could be a type of game where we see a lot of points. And so far, we're seeing a lot of points and at the expense of a longer game, too. So they both seem to be happening.
I want to thank one of our sponsors here on WGIL, Gillsburg Nissan, for providing our transportation anytime we hit the road. I know we're at home this week, but we do want to give, again, our thanks to them, our great appreciation for providing our transportation when we're on the road. And we do want to remind you about their Fill a Frontier food drive going on now until Thanksgiving. If you bring in at least 10 non-perishable food items to be donated to the Fish Food Pantry and the Gillsburg Rescue Mission, and you will get a 2-year, 20,000-mile Nissan maintenance agreement that includes some free oil changes for 2 years, free tire rotation. That's part of the Fill a Frontier food drive at Gillsburg Nissan. Our thanks for their awesome transportation, meeting our needs throughout the football season, and will continue to help us out in Gillsburg High School girls and boys basketball season broadcasts as well, which start next month. Streaks down 38-20 here, minute 55 to go. Hayden with a kickoff at the 40-yard line is short up the near side of the field. Granite City has to run up underneath it. It bounces and deflects, and Wright comes right back to the intended run-up man, Logan Gordon, and he cuts back to the middle of the field where the Streaks surround him at the 31-yard line. Minute 48 to play. Come on, defense. At least make a stop here and even get the ball back. Force a turnover. Streaks forced a season-high 5 of those last week. Almost saw one earlier when Granite City had it down in the 10, but they recovered the fumble, kept possession. Streaks could use a big turnover here at the 27-yard line.
And you spoke to it earlier. I mean, this game, if we can hold it here and get the ball back and score, this game becomes a competitive again, you know. So this is a very important drive here for the Streaks.
That's been our biggest problem, is to get the stop.
Yeah. Out of the shotgun, Edwards rolling left, lots of time to look, and he finds a man complete just short of the first down marker, where he comes down to take the catch, and J.V. Wilson's knee touches the ground, so it's a gain of 5. And very quickly they line up and scramble to get another play off after a gain of 9.
Clock now under 1:30 and running.
Second reception of the game for J.V. Wilson, rolling right
now.
All three Edwards
timeouts.
Across the middle of the field, deflected, and it falls incomplete. Vaynerman got a hand on it, and it's 3rd and 1.
So clock stops here, so we're at 3rd and 1.
Right, and they can do whatever they want here. They have 3 timeouts, so they can run the ball. They don't have to throw it here. Big 3rd down. I'm expecting them to just – they're in the shotgun 100%. They're going to run the redraw here, and I you know, either one of their back or their quarterback's capable of doing this.
He's going to keep it. Yeah,
he's just going to catch it right up the middle.
Yep.
And
played it well.
Just gets past the first down marker where the Streaks stop him. So a short gain, but he didn't need much either. And that keeps the possession with Granite City at the 38-yard line.
So the clock will stop just for a second here while the chain sets, and then they'll restart it. I'm surprised they didn't call a timeout. There it is. There it is. The timeout is now called.
Warriors call timeout. For Freddie Edwards, 8 carries, 198 yards in this first half. A couple of long touchdown runs, 3 touchdown passes, so he's been involved in all 5 of their scores. Again, coming up at halftime, a minute 14 away. Sean Hickey's weekly interview, What's Good at Gillsburg High School, assistant principal Mindy Ritchie talking about clubs and organizations, and principal Jeff Houston as well talking about what's been the highlights of the week and what's coming up in the very near future. Again, that's coming up at halftime.
And also note, too, after our post-game interview with Coach Washerball, we're going to have Assistant assistant coach Jay Barshinger, who is coaching his last game here with over 30 years of service to the program.
Fighting Illini football tomorrow here on WGIL. Illinois battling Wisconsin. It's a 10 o'clock pregame, 11 o'clock kickoff tomorrow morning on WGIL. New set of downs for Granite City. Edwards flushed out of the pocket, rolling right. Streak still in pursuit. Now he's just going to keep it. And steps out of bounds, crossing the 40 to about the 43-yard line. So a long run to pick up four, stopping the clock with a minute six to go. Good coverage downfield by the Streaks. Edwards over 200 yards on the ground in this first half now. I heard that.
He is dynamic. But it's we can, just some better angles and some better tackling would help that situation a little bit.
Second and six from the 43-yard line. Just over a minute to go. Granite City leading 38-20. Lots of time to manage here, even with over a minute left. Little swing pass to the outside. It's caught by the running back, Watson, trying to get to the outside, and he's knocked out of bounds right at the sticks. And this will be close to a first down. But more importantly for Granite City, stops the clock with 59 seconds showing. And they're actually going to mark him 2 yards short. So the momentum at the end of the play is what took him into the first down stick, and it'll be third and two.
Yeah, Jake, you still see over here, we're not covering up the trips very well.
Granite City 4 for 6 on third downs in this game. Edwards on a keeper, and the Streaks read that one. Faked the handoff to the running back Watson, and Edwards was stuffed in the backfield back at the 43-yard line. And now the Streaks call timeout with 50 seconds to go. Because with the ball in this position,
you would think they'd punt
blocked
it,
punt.
I, if I'm them, I don't punt it.
I agree.
I'm just going to let my guy run around as he's shown that he's capable of doing. And with that being said, if I was Coach Watch, I wouldn't have called it my timeout there either. Very content to let this thing run down and have them kick the ball off to me to start the half. But I doubt they punt the ball here. And with a big play, quick strike ability of their quarterback, this was a dangerous timeout in my opinion.
Well, to go back to that last play real quick, there was a nice stop that we had there for a loss, tackle for a loss by we can call it a sack. He was running the ball, so it's a tackle for a loss.
Yep.
And that was Ennis and Taflinger that were both in there on that tackle.
Keep in mind, they do have a fourth down conversion that went for a touchdown two possessions ago. Now facing fourth and five here at their own 44-yard line with 50 seconds remaining. Lined up to go for it. Big opportunity here for the Streaks defense if they can make the stop. Edwards rolling right. Now he will kick it away.
Just get away from
it. And nobody for the Silver Streaks downfield.
Okay.
And so he runs into the punt and boots it down where the ball will stop at the 14-yard line with 37.9 seconds remaining here in this first half. End of the third quarter, Farmington, 20-point lead over Knoxville, leading the Blue Bullets 38-18. So the Streak can play conservatively here, run a play. If you break off a big one, then you can think about maybe something a little more aggressive, but I don't think there will be anything too fancy here on this, especially down at their 14-yard line. With 38 seconds left.
Right, I think that you're right with the right approach here. You run one play and you get something to break off here, and then you can start to think about, something after that. However, we go empty.
Yep.
We're in gun empty with five receivers.
And a flag.
Flag on the play.
We got a delay game.
Referee threw that from the backfield.
So. Oh, did he?
Okay.
Legal substitution on the defense.
So that gives the Streaks 5 yards.
Oh, they had a guy come on late, which gave him 12. That's what it was. Because the defense isn't huddling.
There are no huddles in the Granite City side at either side of the ball. So
first and five for the Streaks up to the 19-yard line. This doesn't necessarily change the Streaks' strategies just because they're on first and five. They do change the formation a bit. But Ayton back to pass, short, and it's complete to Chase Castile at the 30-yard line, trying to get out of bounds, and he's wrestled out at the 31-yard line. Good run after the catch by Chase Castile to advance the ball a little bit farther, and it goes as a gain of 14.
You know, something to think about.
Excuse me, a gain of 17.
We do have the wind in our direction, so you know, you do have a strong foot. He's missed one tonight, but you look at that flag down there on its stanchion; that it's blowing pretty heavily. So there is that little offensive weapon that we hopefully can just get in a field goal range. We don't have to score.
Yeah, in order to get there, we've got to have a little bingo.
Second reception of the game by Chase Castile, 50 yards already at the 36-yard line. Ayton flushed out of the pocket, rolling left, gets past a tackle and just runs out of bounds back up to the 30. Well, they're going to say he's out at the 34, so he lost a couple.
Yeah.
25 and a half seconds showing on the second quarter clock with the streaks down 18. And it's important to make that quick decision, as Ayton did there, just to go ahead and tuck it in and make sure the clock gets stopped right away.
Now, the unfortunate thing is they only rush three, and we're flushing Connor out, and he's always getting flushed to his left, which is not good for a right-handed quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to do a little bit better job up front.
Out of the short shotgun with two wideouts.
There's four.
Flushed out again and throws it to Kobe on the sideline, complete, but only at the 35-yard line for a gain of a yard.
And we're going to get a late flag here as Connor was roughed.
Was he?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sure enough. Flag down way in the backfield. Yep. I think that was Bonvicino who took him down back there.
I'll give us 15 yards.
Yep, personal foul, roughing the passer. 19.7 seconds showing on the second quarter clock. So this is going to move the streaks to midfield now on the biggest penalty of the game against Granite City, both in terms of yardage, but also maybe in terms of impact here as well. So we're going to walk off the penalty yardage, 19.7 seconds before halftime. Streaks trailing, 38-20. Now I can maybe start thinking about something here.
I still think we got to go vertical, Sean, and we saw the success there with Chase when we did on our last drive. And you know, Vannerman can get vertical as well, especially from our inside receivers. You know, the outside receivers are going to get played off of a little bit, so they might not get to go vertical, but our number twos, and even Kobe out of the backfield. I'd like to see them, you know, stretch in the middle of the field.
Yeah, and they're showing a four shell here.
Yep.
From the 50, first down, Silver Streaks, 19.7 seconds to play. Kobe lined up to the right of Ayton in the shotgun. Two wideouts left, two wideouts right.
Only rushing three.
Short drop, yeah. Ayton swing pass across the far side through the hands of a wide-open Dewan Pulley at the 45.
Hook and ladder. That was going to be a hook and ladder. Indeed. Yeah, you saw that up there. Yep. So you saw Kobe sprinting out of the backfield, and Pulley's supposed to catch that ball, and the ball was delivered perfectly, and it was going to be a little hook and ladder, and I couldn't really see the, you know, how the defense was setting up for that, but that was definitely in the works there.
Yeah, when you have a cover four shell, you're vulnerable to the sidelines and right up the middle, and that was certainly with the four shell, the hook and ladder. Had we got that reception, that it was open, we could have gotten the edge on that.
See, now we got four wide receivers to the right, and I like seeing Kobe going vertical right now. There he goes.
Ayton steps up in the pocket, now flushed out, rolling right.
Run.
Has a man open downfield, throws it, and closing speed and intercepted back inside the 15-yard line.
That's
as Montre Sneed downfield goes up high and intercepts it and hangs on to it and comes down with it. Montre Sneed with a very athletic and impressive interception as Ayton got it downfield, and Granite City has it at the 7-yard line with 7 seconds to go.
Connor had a lot of green there. He could have ran, but if he runs that, we run out of time.
Right.
The half's over. Yep. So he's got to give it up downfield. And that guy closed so quickly. I mean, he made quite a play on that ball to go get it.
And truly, you know, impressed with the arm strength. I know Connor's got it, but when you're on the run like that, and, you know, he delivered that ball 45, 50 yards in the air, pretty impressive.
So Granite City takes a knee and goes to the locker room, leading 38-20 over the Silver Streaks. When we come back, what's good at Galesburg High School with assistant principal Mindy Ritchie and principal Jeff Houston, as Sean Hickey caught up with them just yesterday. We'll find out about that at the half. Granite City leading 38-20. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Silver Streaks Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Office Specialists, providing solutions for your business. By Templeton Roofing, Galesburg's oldest and most experienced roofing contractor. Visit them at templetonroofing.com. And by Tom Irons and Accounting Systems on Simmons Street in downtown Galesburg.
Chip and JoJo made it look real easy on Fixer Upper, but now you realize you're in way over your head. Fear not, friend. Courtright Construction of Oneida tackles projects of all kinds. See pictures at CourtRightConstruction.com. The right choice for your next project.
What does your morning sound like?
Goodbye, baby.
Is she asleep?
Yeah, finally.
Great. I picked up our favorite breakfast sandwiches from McDonald's.
Ooh.
My turn.
Here's to making your morning routine a little better. Right now, mix and match two select breakfast sandwiches, like a bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddles, a sausage McMuffin with egg, or a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit for just $4. Breakfast at McDonald's. Single item at regular price at participating McDonald's for a limited time.
Clark Howard.
This is Clark Howard.
There are new stats from the housing industry that in so many places in the United States, buyers have gone on strike. There was a severe shortage of supply, and the prices outran people's ability to qualify for loans. If you're a seller and you had a home on the market for a while and it's not moving, either there's something about your house or you have a price problem you've got to address.
Clark Howard, weekday mornings at 9 on WGIL.
The official WGIL forecast is brought to you by Mother Goosebumps. Stop in anytime during their Melissa and Doug annual 20% off sale going on now through October 31st. Cloudy tonight, clearing overnight as well, a low near 42. Sunshine tomorrow and breezy in the afternoon, a high near 52. Tomorrow night, clear with a low near 28 and sunshine for your Sunday with a high of 50 degrees. Currently in downtown Galesburg, it's 51 at WGIL.
WGIL's coverage of Silver Streaks football continues with the GHS Halftime Report on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Welcome to the Halftime Show. I'm Sean Hickey with this week's segment of What's Good at GHS. As always, we have Principal Jeff Houston with us, but this week's spotlight is part two of the clubs and organizations here at GHS. A few weeks ago, we had part one where we focus on specific interest clubs such as World Language Club and Future Farmers of America. We also covered service clubs such as Rotary and Interact. Back tonight, we have Assistant Principal, Mrs. Minnie Ritchie. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Mr. Hickey. Thank you for having me this evening.
We have a few more categories to cover. In addition to the two that we did last week, we have fine arts, academic, and whole school, for lack of a better word. That's kind of what we decided to go with. So if you could, Mr. Ritchie, let's start with the fine art clubs.
I'm really excited to talk about the opportunities in fine arts at Galesburg High School. I'm excited because there are a multitude of opportunities that a student can take advantage of. We've got opportunities within our art department. We have opportunities within music. We have some new neat things coming up with our 21st Century Grant Program that is kind of rolling here at Galesburg High School. And through that grant program, some excellent staff members are giving students the chance to learn about things maybe they haven't had an opportunity to. We have students doing yoga. We have students doing Zentangle art. We have students that are also learning to play chess. So lots of neat opportunities within fine arts.
And I was talking with that would be Keisha Boyd and Amy Gugliotta, and really what's going on there is a lot of enrichment for the teachers to go and extend curriculum to students if they would like to. And that's for, what, 2 hours after school, Monday through Thursday, an opportunity for that as well. And I've been talking with her with other teachers, and we're looking to start a board game club. So you mentioned chess, an opportunity for students to get involved with some other board games as well. All right, also moving on now, we're going to go into the academic clubs and organizations. What do we have here available at the high school for students?
Our students have opportunities to earn and be members of organizations such as the National Honor Society. Our school has a Scholastic Bowl, a speech team. Opportunities such as this that give students a chance to have leadership and really grow in areas that that they excel in. And also, these are great opportunities. I keep saying the word opportunities because I really see it as a positive thing for students who are heading off to college and out into the world to really show where they excel and where they've led within our school.
And that was certainly something that we talked about last time for students, is to really take advantage of this, because if you're a couple weeks ago we had Ben Bredemeyer on and we're looking at college applications, and certainly colleges and universities really want to see, you know, not only do you do well academically, but they want to see what else you're doing within the school community, because they want those type of community members as well at the school. Also, our last one that we have now is going to be the whole school types of clubs or organizations that will benefit everybody. They're not specific. What do we have in that area?
in that area, and really want to stress for any of these opportunities, we want students to get involved. And for most of them, you can kind of just jump in and take part and ask any staff member for more information if you'd like it. But speaking of the whole school, students can help with our yearbook, our budget, which our school reflector is the yearbook, and the budget is the school newspaper. And for our students who want to be involved in student council, they can take part in the application process this year to be involved next year. They'd like to do that. Project graduation is a really neat opportunity for our students that would like to help with activities following graduation for our seniors.
All right. Sounds good. And, you know, we had Ms. Tammy Qualls on a couple weeks ago and talking about with student council. And up, we have coming up here real soon is going to be the Haunted High School. That is something that the student council will be putting on for the community. So keep your eyes and ears open for that. Again, that was GHS Assistant Principal Mrs. Mindy Ritchie discussing clubs and organizations at GHS. Mrs. Ritchie, thank you for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Now let's talk with Principal Jeff Houston. Mr. Houston, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me one more week.
That's right. This is our last week here of the season. What do we have from exciting news from the past week?
Kind of outside our building, I attended the Carl Sandburg College Strategic Planning meeting. Got a chance to meet with Dr. Riley out there and kind of see what their vision is for their building and try to create a community partner in our process here at the high school. And with saying that, we had some Sandburg people visit and we had a meeting with them talking about more dual credit and some articulation stuff that we might be able to offer our students here at Galesburg High School.
Okay, good. Anything else to go along with that?
If anybody attended the choir concert, Mr. White and the students just did a magnificent job. Nothing but raving reviews coming out of that. So he's excited about what is going to take place the rest of the year with his choir after talking with him. We had a SIP day, which is a school improvement planning day. I kind of worked with the staff departmentally on how we can improve departmentally. And then also did an exercise with the staff that was kind of neat to get together with them and have them collaborate and talk and spend some time with them. And then, of course, we finished up with finals. And then also today, we had the prep rally for the student body with the news people down covering that. It was well attended and created a little bit of school spirit for us. And then we want to wish the band good luck tomorrow as they go to the University of Illinois competition.
All right. Sounds good. Now, this has been, as we mentioned already, our last week. We can't continue on saying what do we have coming up next week. So we have some highlights for this upcoming week and a little bit beyond that. So what are some highlights you had to share coming up in the future?
Well, I just think, you're coming up on a change of seasons, the athletic seasons. That's always exciting. The kids are not only starting new academic adventures, they're also starting new adventures, whether it's with the clubs, activities, organizations, and athletics. So it's always a fun time of year, and kind of kids feel a little refreshed and rejuvenated. Our district improvement meeting will be taking place next week on Tuesday. Our volleyball team will compete in the regional. I want to encourage everyone to come out to the blood drive that Key Club is having in the Learning Center on Thursday from 1 to 5. And then, the real thing that the kids are excited about is no school on Friday.
Also, that we have coming up for the week after that we're talking about, I mentioned it with Ms. Ritchie with the Haunted High School. Is there anything more you want to add to that?
No, we've done that now, and Ms. Qualls and Student Council brought that back to us and wanted to get that up and running again, and we did it and have had pretty good attendance the last couple of years. And, we've even had fire and police out here at times and had them join in the cause and just tried to create a nice inclusive environment that is sheltered for the kids in case it's bad weather. And Ms. Qualls just does a great job with the student council, and we just love the leadership that the kids show in that.
And you talk about the seasons coming to an end for the sport, the fall sport seasons, and, we always want to give our best wishes to all those because we mentioned volleyball, but I think also tomorrow we have cross country is hosting as well, and any other sports that we have going on that's going to be heading into their postseason play. Well, that's a wrap for this week's high school show, halftime show, regarding what's good at GHS. Thanks again to GHS Assistant Principal Mindy Ritchie and Principal Jeff Houston for their time. Coming up next, we'll have halftime stats and second half action against Granite City on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Stay connected to what's happening in Galesburg. 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL, Galesburg's local news.
One of the big fundraising events for the Warren County United Way is its fourth annual Tap and Cork event, which will be held tomorrow.
Held at Market Alley Wines, tickets are still available for $25, and that includes food from Alfano's, wine from Market Alley, beer from DeNovo, and you get entered in to win prizes. Craig Vivian will be providing live music throughout the night. 100% of the proceeds benefit the Warren County United Way. If you're interested in tickets, call the United Way at 734-6364. U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions says reforms planned for Chicago's police force will cause a surge in violent crime. Sessions spoke today to the Chicago Crime Commission about a plan to bring the Chicago Police Department under close federal court supervision. The reforms include limiting officers' ability to use force. The Trump administration wants to scuttle the plan, arguing that it takes policing authority away from police and would deprive officers of flexibility to do their jobs. I'm Cameron Lyne. Top stories at home, top stories from around the world. This is 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Galesburg's News.
Fox News, I'm Joy Piazza. Saudi Arabia now says that Jamal Khashoggi, the Washington Post journalist who was critical of the Saudi government, died after what they're calling a fist fight inside the Saudi consulate in Istanbul. 18 Saudi nationals were arrested and two top Saudi officials have been fired. President Trump saying he expects a more extensive report soon.
Well, I think it's a good first step. It's a big step. It's a lot of people.
The president speaking at a defense roundtable at Luke Air Force Base in Arizona. Many congressional lawmakers say the Saudis' explanation is incredible enough. There's not much time left to get a Mega Millions ticket. The jackpot is $1 billion, and many folks are envisioning what they'd do with the money.
I'm going to take care of my wife and my family if I win this much money, man, you know.
It's the second largest jackpot in U.S. history, but the chances of winning, roughly 1 in 302 million. This is Fox News.
Have you ever wished you could get the lady who does your taxes, the guy who handles your investments, the bookkeeper, and the payroll people all in the same room? Well, the only way you're going to pull that off is to find a firm that does it all. Here's Dr. Aaron Christopher, CPA and owner of Action Tax and Accounting.
If you're used to emailing four or more different people to manage your family or small business's finances, you'll be relieved to know Action Tax and Accounting can now offer you everything you need in one place. Taxes, bookkeeping, payroll, and financial services. This allows us to not only save you time and money, but more importantly, provide you with a holistic approach to managing your finances. Most people are surprised what a comprehensive plan can do for their financial health, not to mention their peace of mind. Now is the time to lock in year-end tax planning appointments so that we can make the best decisions for your finances moving into 2019. Set up an appointment today at Action Tax, just over the railroad bridge on North Seminary Street in Galesburg, or find us online at actiontaxil.com.
Action Tax. When experience counts.
Galesburg Nissan is home with a lifetime warranty. No gimmicks, no deductible, and no expensive service requirements. Galesburg Nissan's lifetime warranty is just that. Unlimited time and unlimited miles. Plus, you get a free loaner car for life if your car needs to be in the shop. And every fifth oil change is free. Yes, for life. We just won our third consecutive Nissan Award of Excellence, recognizing large sales volume and superior customer satisfaction. We want to be your dealer for life, and we'll strive to prove it every day. Galesburg Nissan. Home of the lifetime warranty.
Some lessons you just got to learn the hard way.
Are you referring to my attempt to wear bangs in the 90s?
I'm referring to my mom fail.
What do you mean?
I thought I could save some money on eye exams, and I took the kids to one of those get your groceries and eye exams in the same place stores. Yeah, turns out you shouldn't try to save money at the expense of your children's vision. Thank goodness we got into Kehoe Eye Care, and everyone can see now.
Well, now you know.
Don't learn the hard way. Get the best possible eye health and vision care with the latest technology. Available only at Kehoe Eye Care.
At Kehoe Eye Care, we care for people, not just eyes.
Nobody covers the Silver Streaks like 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Galesburg Sports.
Halftime here at Van Dyke Field at F&M Bank Stadium. The crowd just entertained by another dazzling performance by the Marching Streaks. What a season they have had under new director Andy Empey. And they're off to the University of Illinois tomorrow, and we wish them the best of luck to finish their season strong. While we wait for Jay Barshinger to come out of the locker room, you say he's there, Jay?
You ready? Walking up to
I see him. Yep, good eyes.
Yep.
All I could see up here was that black jacket over the black background. But I do see him heading your way now. Our halftime coaches interview brought to you by Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. Streaks Trail, Granite City at the break, 38-20. Let's head down to Jake Miller with assistant coach Jay Barshinger for one final time.
All right, Coach. Obviously, no problems really moving the football for us. The story of the first half is
is the quarterback play on the other side. You know, obviously that had to be addressed at halftime. What do you think is the maybe the antidote for that in the second half?
Yeah, and he's obviously a great athlete, and we knew that coming in, and we knew that's the kind of stuff that he did. We've just got to do a better job of swarm tackling him and keeping him contained inside. You know, once he gets out in the open field, we don't have many guys with this kind of speed who can contain him, but we need to do a good job of keeping him in the backfield and swarm when he's there.
So is that going to entail like some sort of changes to in terms of our defensive coverage and putting more guys? It seemed like we had a lot of guys walked up, I guess is what I'm saying. And so once you break through the line, he's definitely gone. Do we make a change there? Is it just kind of our guys need to do a better job of angles and tackling?
Well, you know, just that comes down to numbers. I mean, the more guys we got out, the less guys we get in trying to contain him. So if we're playing cover three, we got more guys, ideally, to keep him inside, try to contain him. You know, if we go to cover four, now there's more guys out, so we have less guys inside. It's just a numbers game. We just got to do a better job of doing our job.
Okay, we get the ball back here in the first half, and good luck to you, Coach. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Our thanks to assistant coach Jay Barshinger joining us here at halftime for our halftime coaches interview. And let's go ahead and run through our halftime scoreboard brought to you by Courtright Construction in Oneida, the right choice for your next project. Well, some of the week nine drama always comes down to 4-4 teams or 5-3 teams that may need one more victory to secure a playoff bid. So here's how things are shaking out. Looks like Alleman's going to make the playoffs. Late in the game, in fact, late enough, they're probably just running out the clock even as we speak. Pioneers leading Chicago Heights Bloom 28-13. That is Alleman's fifth win. Same thing for Rock Island, although they're only at halftime. But the 4-4 Rocks are up on Peoria Richwoods 47-9. So unless there is some monumental collapse of historic proportions, Rock Island will get its fifth win. Moline having an easy time with Palos Hill Stag, leading 36-10 early second half there. And Quincy with a big lead over Quincy Notre Dame, 49-7. Now, in the Prairie Land, Lewistown needed a victory tonight over 6-2 BPC West Prairie to be playoff eligible, and the Indians got it. They beat the Sparklones 19-6. So BPC West Prairie's in at 6-3, and Lewistown should be in as well. Farmington with a 38-18 lead over Knoxville, early fourth quarter there. Illini West finishes the regular season 9-0. They went to Elmwood Brimfield and won it 28-16. And Rushville Industry becomes playoff eligible. Their fifth win, routing South Fulton 54-14. In the Lincoln Trail, less than 2 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, Mid-County with the ball and a one-point lead over Mercer County, 22-21. Both of those teams at 5-3 coming into tonight. Anawan Weathersfield got its sixth win, routing Stark County 45-14. And in a battle of winless teams, West Central crushed United 52-0. Also, Geneseo coming into this season, or coming into tonight's action at 4-4. At 7-1 DeKalb, and that game going pretty much as expected with the Barbs leading 42-11 in the fourth quarter there. And, you know, we didn't look into it, but gosh, when's the last time Geneseo missed the playoffs? Looks like it's going to happen. So here, Silver Streaks trail 38-20 as Jake and Jay were just discussing. The Streaks will have the ball to start off the second half as Kobe Ramirez and Dylan McBride are back deep, awaiting the opening kickoff of the third quarter. If the Streaks can get something going offensively here, cut into this 18-point deficit, maybe make it down to 11, maybe 10 points here to at least get things started in the third quarter, and suddenly we're talking about having a ball game again. And the Streaks have shown some defensive toughness here late in the second half, first half, that hopefully they can carry over into the second half as defensive toughness was not the situation for most of the first two quarters.
Yeah, this game is not out of reach by any means for us.
So the kickoff goes. Dylan McBride goes back for it, reaches over his shoulder, picks up the ball off the ground at the 11, has some
another
room to
return.
Run on the far side of the field, the 30, to the 40-yard line where he's run out of bounds, and a late hit possibly. There's the flag coming in, and the Streaks are going to start this drive in Granite City territory after the late hit on McBride, 5 yards out of bounds.
I hope that's not on us, though. It looks like he pointed our way. Dylan may have initiated that.
Well, let's see. Here comes the referee walking things over. Unsportsmanlike conduct it is against the Streaks. So we're going to march it backwards now. It is a final as Knoxville falls to Farmington by 10 or 12. What is that, 38-26, Sean?
Yes. Yep, 38-26.
So a run back by McBride. A good run back, about 30 yards. And now the 15-yard penalty will take him back.
Yeah, cut in half, and then the coaches are talking to him, not very happy. And, you know, that's the second time. Sean talked about it earlier. You know, these things happen. It's an emotional game, but, you know, the Streaks do not – they can't afford it at this point. When you're down 18 points, every yard counts, and good field position matters in this game.
Yeah, instead of the 40, they started the 25. Out of the shotgun, Aiton hands off to Kobe Ramirez, and he's stopped. He'll fight his way back to the line of scrimmage for officially no gain, but Granite City was quickly in the backfield on that first handoff of the second half.
And, Jake, to go back to your point with the penalties – you know, as a coach, one of the things that you can handle are physical mistakes. Those are going to happen.
Right.
But it's the mental mistakes that you go into and you get what we've seen tonight are 2 15-yarders by us, the things that had nothing to do with our physical ability, just had everything to do with how we reacted to a situation.
Fourth penalty of the night against the Silver Streaks. Out of the shotgun. Aiton on the keeper. Ooh. Fake the handoff to Kobe, and again, Granite Ooh. City read it perfectly in the backfield before Connor could do anything with it, and he loses a yard.
Fooled me.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think what we're seeing is a couple mental mistakes on the offensive line, too. We're just not getting these three guys, you know, blocked up front. And, you know, basically they're doing damage with two or three guys up front that we just have to do a better job of occupying.
Streaks were 2 for 5 on third downs in the first half. They face third and a long 11 here as we're just underway in the third quarter. Gelsberg needing a big play to continue this opening drive, trailing by 18 here in the third quarter. Out of the shotgun, Aiton swings it to the outside. Gatson comes back for it, and that one is covered up perfectly as the tackle made by Aaron Barnett immediately after Gatson with the reception, and the Streaks lose 2 more yards and face fourth down.
It's another now screen that just isn't – that play just isn't going to work, and we see that you had Nate Geithner trying to get out there, and I don't know if maybe the receiver is – his splits are too wide, Sean. You know, maybe if he closes that down a little bit, Geithner has a chance to get out there and make the lead block for him, but we've tried the now screen 3 times, and we've lost yardage all 3 times.
Well, it's for how aggressive they are, it could be a good time for a now and go.
Yeah.
Hayden back standing at his own 9 to punt this one away. The rush is on. He gets it away. High into the air. Comes down, bounces at the Granite City 42, and then taken on a bounce, and that one goes nowhere. Chase Castile is right on top of Jerry Watson, who took it on the bounce that came right to him up high and tried to catch it and run. And Castile stopped him immediately. Still good field position for the Warriors as they'll have it at the 38-yard line.
And that was an alert play by Chase there because it looked like the return man was going to let the ball go. And he got a big bounce, and he grabbed it on the run, and he was able to break down and make a good tackle on that play.
Warriors had some big plays in the first half. None bigger than what Freddie Edwards, the quarterback, was involved in. 2 long touchdown runs of 40 and 70 yards. He had 199 yards by himself on the ground. He hands off good. To Jerry Watson, trying to sweep to the right side, and then he's brought down as he stops, cuts up the middle to the 45-yard line for a gain of 7, and a pretty high tackle made by the Silver Streaks on top of it, but no flag came in. It goes as a gain of 7.
You heard Sean say good initially, and that's because we had our surest tackler out there making the play in the backfield, David Vaynerman, but unfortunately overran it just a little bit, and the nice cut move by the running back there, and he broke free. And you don't see guys break free from number 20 very often.
Granite City had 373 yards of total offense in the first half, 254 on the ground.
Good. Dang it.
Quarterback keeper slips another tackle in the backfield, and now Vaderman makes the tackle in Gelsberg territory at the 45-yard line as he slipped a tackle
again
after the long, delayed fake handoff, and they move the chains.
Just take what I said last time and reapply it to this time. Again, a play in the backfield. Streaks could have them. Wrapped up for a loss, and they slip out.
I understand the frustration on the tackle, but how much of that is just his athleticism
sure.
and elusiveness, too?
Sure, but when your players are making plays and they have him physically in their grasp, you expect that to get completed.
Hand off to Watson, cut back up the middle, dragged down from behind by Nico Della Giannis.
Streaks are saying ball's on the ground.
No whistle.
Yeah, they're all pointing.
Now
here's the whistle right at the end. And the line judge coming in from the far side as Watson is down on the back 3 yards behind where the play came to an end. And it looks like Granite City will still have the ball. And now we're going to have the stoppage of clock to 10-2. Jerry Watson, the running back, who is down holding his right leg back at the 43-yard line. So it'll go as a gain of 6 and a fumble recovery. Second time that they have fumbled and recovered to gain yardage out of the play. And it'll be 2nd and 4 after the injury timeout. 8:18 to play third quarter. Streaks down 38-20.
Now, Jake, did you have a view of that fumble?
No, not at all. It was completely blocked, but I was just, going by Silver Streak reactions.
Watching their reaction,
Yeah, I did not see the ball on the ground at all.
And the fact that the whistle was so late,
right,
it almost seems like the officials didn't know either.
Now, listen, this is a development here as he's being helped off. He is not walking off on his own power.
Again, that's the running back, Jerry Watson. 9 carries for 49 yards tonight. But just not having him on the field may change things up a little bit. Richard Graham did carry the ball in the first half a couple of times. His 12-yard gain on his first carry was longer than anything Watson ran the ball, so it's not like Graham isn't capable. 2nd and 4 coming out of the injury timeout. And they go right to Graham. Up the middle to the right side. Streaks close the hole, push him backwards. He'll gain a couple, but stopped short of the first down marker, and it brings up 3rd and 2.
That's a nice spot.
It is. I was getting ready to say the same thing. I thought he got back to the line of scrimmage, and that was about it. But forward progress, according to the officiating crew here, has him 2 yards or a gain of 1.5 yards. And now you got to know that the ball is going to be in Freddie's hands.
At the Galesburg 37-yard line, 3rd and 2. He drops back. Now steps up.
And here he goes.
Flushed out of the pocket, rolling left. He's going to throw the ball downfield, far sideline, complete at the 16-yard line.
Incomplete.
It was not complete, rather. Yep. A diving play made toward the sideline on the far side of the field by Reed Wilson. And I don't know if he came down with it inbounds or if the ball just popped out, but it's incomplete and fourth down now, and a rare third down stop by the Streaks in this game. So 4th and 2, 2 down territory most likely on short yardage at the 37-yard line. Unless the quarterback, Edwards, runs into a punt like he did earlier. They go with a handoff straight up the middle, and there's room to run, and finally brought down inside the 30, close to the 25-yard line, and more than plenty for the first down, a pickup of about 11. As they went to Graham again. So, again, the injury that took Watson out of the play, at least on this drive, does not slow them down on the ground. So a fourth down conversion for the Warriors as we approach the 7-minute mark here in the third quarter with Granite City leading 38-20. Out of the shotgun. Edwards, 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage, hands off, up the middle. They go back to Graham, bullying his way through the linebacker core inside the 20 down to the 17-yard line as he picks up 9 on first down.
Much more methodical drive we see here, without the big play the big play capability that they have. We're just seeing a nice sustained drive, kind of demoralizing right now here for the Streaks.
Yeah, for this style of offense, really taking their time, running some play clock down.
Especially after forcing a fumble and not getting it back. Here's Edwards on the keeper. Streaks string him out to the outside. He slips another tackle. Works his way inside the 10-yard line as he broke free from Chase Castile's grasp. Back at the 15-yard line. And it'll be 1st and goal, Granite City at the 8.
You really can't fault the effort there by Chase. You know, he gets off a block and he has him in the grasp. But again, you know, to Brad's point earlier, just the sheer athleticism. And he was able to break through that. It's the broken record tonight. You know, the Streaks have the opportunity to make the play in the backfield, and these guys are breaking free.
Freddie Edwards, 13 carries, 218 yards. That's the quarterback we're talking about. 18-point lead for Granite City. Warriors looking for more with Graham up the middle. Fights his way inside the 5, to the three as he picks up five. And Graham has picked up the pace. Even with Watson out on this drive with a leg injury.
Yeah, there's been no drop off, that's for sure.
Brad, as you talked about the number of runs that he has and how many yards, I did it real quick on my phone. He is averaging 16.7 yards a carry.
Keeping in mind, touchdown runs of 40 and 70 in the first quarter alone. They go up the middle. Nope, this is the quarterback on the keeper, and he takes it in. They bid on the fake to Graham up the middle, and that allowed Edwards to go to the right side and run it in, finishing off the final 3 yards himself for his third rushing touchdown of the night. He also has three passing touchdowns. And Granite City now leads 44-20 with 5:39 to go here in the third quarter. Now, streaks have looked like they had some defensive plays made here. But Granite City would slip out of it, keep the drive alive. And now an extra point pending to go up 25. Still 5:39 to go here in the third quarter. The kick is up and in, and it's 44-20 Granite City, 45-20 rather, 5:39 to play. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Live coverage of GHS Silver Streaks Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Arby's. They'll hang the big hat up on the sign so you can see it. By attorneys James Blake and Tricia Blake Miller at Blake Law Office in Galesburg. And by Dickerson's Photography, encouraging you to come out and catch all the action of local high school sports. Go Streaks!
Did you know you can save about 50% on your air filters by having them cleaned rather than replaced? And Filter Service Center, now part of Mid-State Manufacturing, will even pick them up and deliver them back to you. Your filter's good as new. Filter Service Center at Mid-State Manufacturing.
Galesburg's News, Galesburg's Talk, 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
10-play scoring drive by Granite City. Warriors cover 62 yards in 3 minutes 57 seconds. Quarterback Freddie Edwards, his third rushing touchdown of the night, finishes off the 3 yards. And extra point makes it 45-20 now. Warriors 5:39 to go, still in the third quarter. Much of what we've seen all season long in terms of the Streaks' inability to stop their opponents, a squib kick up the field on the far side as Dylan McBride goes nowhere this time. He scooped it up. Tried to run left, and Granite City wasn't having any part of it this time. They'll give Dylan forward progress to the 20, but he was pushed backwards a good 8-9 yards. Almost like Granite City trying to make a point on that when they were not going to let Dylan McBride have another big run back on him this time. So Streaks will have it at their own 20. I mentioned the defensive issues that have plagued the Silver Streaks this season on the ground. Coming into this game, the Streaks had given up just under 2,200 yards on the season, 2,177 yards in 8 games. So go with Sean's strategy there of figuring out the average, 272 yards on average on the ground, and the Streaks have given up that already here tonight as Kobe Ramirez maybe gets back to the line of scrimmage on the first handoff here on this drive. No gain, second and 10. Kobe's been slowed down. 12 carries, 61 yards. Nothing in the second half so far. He broke off a big one earlier, but it was called back on a holding penalty. So Kobe, of course, has that break-free ability. It hasn't been quite the offensive season for Kobe this year like he had last year, as he entered this game with 754 yards rushing. Did score his 10th rushing touchdown of the season.
A
pick. Ayton gets blasted as he throws it away. Bonvicino intercepts it and returns it for the pick six. There was a defender in Connor's face when he let that go, and he did not see Bonvicino lurking in a soft spot over there to Connor's right, and it's picked off and returned for the touchdown, and it's now 51-20 with 4:42 to go. In the third quarter.
Yeah, and just watching Connor here come off the field, and it's good to see that that would have been the biggest hit that he's taken all season long.
Yep.
He took it square in the chin, and the guy landed straight on him. And, in fact, in the NFL, that's going to get called a penalty. But in high school football, that's a good solid tackle. And, it's good to see that he's up and moving around and a little disappointed in himself, I'm sure. But at least he's going to be able to go back out there and continue to lead the offense.
Second interception of the night. The last one came right before halftime as the Streaks were trying to move it downfield. They'd gotten to the 50 and were trying to make a play happen right before halftime to get within 10 maybe at the half, and that play got picked off right before halftime. That one was incidental. This one was not, though. An interception return for a touchdown. The extra point makes it 52-20 now with 4:42 to go in the third quarter. And now the Streaks have to really be starting to concerned about getting continuous clocked on their senior night in the final game of the season. And, of course, Granite City, keep in mind, a ton to play for. They win. They've played a good enough schedule that they're going to have enough playoff points to get in. So we talked earlier at halftime. We were noticing some 4-4 teams in action around the area that were needing a win and several of them getting a key win tonight. Granite City's in that same situation. And as an independent school, pretty big deal to get into the playoffs when you're just playing anybody you can pick up. And they'll go with a squib kick to the near side of the field. McBride has to run up on it at the 20. And the special teams coverage is downfield again. And Dillon has a run back of 2 to the 22. Granite City looks determined coming out of the locker room to put this game away. Streaks have had nothing going offensively, and even their kickoff returns, which were so effective in the first half, have been inconsequential here too.
Yeah, to note with their kickoffs there, they're kicking them lower. They're hitting the turf a little bit more than what they did in the first half, and that's causing a more difficult time for Dillon to pick it up. And it also, the longer that's on the carpet like that, then the kickoff team is able to cover it
sure.
better.
Yep.
Streaks go heavy here with 3 tight ends.
And that'll bring Ayton up under center. Hands off to the right side. Kobe squirts free out of some and then gets ankle tackled at the 30-yard line. Just when it looked like Kobe might break free and run for a little bit, he's brought down. Chase Castile slow to get up down at the 30-yard line. They'll give Kobe 9 on first down, one of his better runs of the night statistically. And Castile still down, and that'll stop the clock with 4:19 to go in the third quarter. And the Streaks trailing by 32.
This is upsetting to see. Chase has had a good game, especially offensively, tonight, and trainers look to be looking somewhere.
Is that hip, upper leg?
No, it's in lower leg now. They're looking, looks like below the knee.
Castile's had his best game statistically as a receiver, 2 catches for 50 yards. Came into the game 6 receptions for 90 on the season, keeping in mind an injury kept him out of the first 3 games of the regular season. So this is just his 6th game of the year. And 2 catches for 50 yards tonight. But an injury has him down to the 30 with 4:19 to go in the third quarter and a 52-20 Granite City lead. Now they're helping him up. And he's favoring that left leg pretty hard, an ankle maybe, and they're going to have to help him off the field. And Chase might be done for the night, which is upsetting to see. Started the season with an injury and now may finish one with one.
Yeah, he's putting absolutely no weight on the left side of his lower half there. So, it'd be a good bet to see that Chase is probably finished.
He'll have another year. He's a junior. A senior takes his place, Mason Valley. We'll check in at tight end as Vaynerman comes off the field as well. Dewan Pulley splits out wide left for the Silver Streaks. Ramirez in the backfield with 8 and under center. 2nd and 1 for the Streaks from the 30. They go back to Kobe, trying to cut, trying to find an opening, trying to slick out a jersey tackle, and he cannot do it. And there was Bonvicino in the backfield again. Austin Bonvicino makes the tackle for loss. Might be a generous spot. Kobe's only going to lose a yard on it. And it'll bring up 3rd and a long 3. Sorry, lost 2. They were at the 31, weren't they? So 3rd and 3 for the Silver Streaks. Galesburg 0-for-1 in the second half, just 2-for-6 for the game. Needing a key 3rd down here, already trailing by 32, under 3.5 minutes to go, 3rd quarter. Ayton will drop back in the gun with 3 wideouts to the right side. And a misconnection on the handoff. Kobe can't make the clean handoff from Ayton, and Connor has to fall on it back at the 25. And a lot of wind coming out of the Silver Streaks here in this third quarter.
Yeah.
This Granite City really smelling blood in the water now.
Yeah, watching guys, you know, kind of coming off the sideline here, very dejected. And,
yep.
You know, it's going to be a long haul to finish this thing out right now.
James Hayden back at his 12. You're Granite City. You put the rush on? I mean, you could.
No.
No. You're going to get good field position out of it.
High snap. Oh. And Hayden can't handle it, and he's taken down. Is there going to be a? Well, I don't see a. I thought they might have got a hand in on the face mask. The flag did not come out. Hayden, it was a high snap, and then as he tried to square himself up to kick it away, he juggled it and then tried to had to tuck and run, and he was tackled back at the 12-yard line. So now Granite City really in prime position to open up a 40-point second-half lead here with 2:36 to go in this third quarter. Man, it's happened fast. It's an 18-point lead at halftime, and here we were talking about the Streaks coming out with the ball to start the third quarter and making a game out of it, and it has gone absolutely the opposite direction in a major hurry. First down from the 12. Edwards trying to bounce to the outside, slips a tackle in the backfield. He's got room on the far side, cuts back, and takes it in for the touchdown. He was in pressure in the backfield. He slipped out of Dylan McBride's hands, and once he started juking and maneuvering on the far side, he found hole here, left, right, took it in 12 yards for the touchdown, and the Streaks are down.
You see
38.
Of course, they're going to go for two here because they have the running clock.
Yeah, the offense is going to stay out on the field for the first time here after a touchdown. They're going to go for two. And with a playoff game looming for these guys, it'd be nice to be able to sit some of their starters here.
Right.
So they're going to go for two. And the quarterback's going to get the edge. Okay.
And he takes it. Got all the way to the outside, and Edwards runs it in. There will be a running clock. And on the final game of the season of a tough 1-7 season, the Silver Streaks, after an 0-6 start, had high hopes of a three-game winning streak to end the year and a disappointing loss to Alleman last week, and now they're going to get a running clock on them in the final game of the season, down 60-20 with 2:27 to go in the third quarter. So they have put up 22 points in a big hurry, and the Silver Streaks in the second half have, looking to see if we even had a first down. We don't. We have a fumble.
Interception, a pick six.
Yep. Guess the fumble was actually late in the second quarter.
Yeah.
Well, I thought you meant the fumble in our last possession, which was not a turnover, but that was a third down play.
Right.
And then we had the mishap on the punt. Gave him the ball on the 11 or 12 going in.
So giving up 60 points in their final game and a running clock when, I don't know, under the circumstances is
it's merciful.
Probably the best thing that can happen.
Yeah, it's merciful. And, you know, it's something you don't want to be a part of, but it's definitely something that is the right thing for the IHSA to have that rule in.
So they kick it down the middle of the field. It's scooped up at the 15-yard line by
Bannerman.
Who returns it across the 30 to the 33-yard line.
Yeah, they flipped Vannerman and McBride on that. McBride was more the up back on that one, Vannerman the deep returner.
Yeah, an idea for that is because it's going low and hard is that hopefully Dylan can get over and cut that off, and that's going to gain 10 yards right there if he's able to. But as it was, the ball was coming through too hot. It wasn't able to handle, and it went right on back to Vannerman. Well, at this point in the game, what you have an opportunity to do is it's senior night. Put those seniors out there. Maybe they're in a position they're not normally in and let them play.
Connor Ayton swings it to the right side through the hands of Vannerman on the far side. In fact, I was just thinking along the same line, Sean. There might be some people wondering, do you pull some guys up in this situation and throw them out there and say, you're the future, so let's go ahead and see what you can do. But I don't agree with that strategy. It's the seniors last night for many of them. Maybe the last time they ever play organized football, and it's their night. It's a home night. Let them play. I don't see Mike Washabaugh substituting anybody out in favor of the future. You let these guys finish their careers. Second down, Ayton with a fake handoff, and he's dragged down for a loss back at the 26-yard line. Well, Granite City's not slowing down or letting up at all, are they?
No, I don't see any changes for them on the defensive side of the ball either. So you're probably going to see some changes on the offensive side when they get the ball back. But right now it's still, you know, they'll run a guy out here and there. And you know, but the Streaks, unfortunately, still not able to put any kind of offensive drive together here in the second half. Mm-mm.
And a name that we've said a few times here in the second half is Bonvincino, number 60 for the Warriors.
Yeah, he's had a heck of a ball.
Yeah, he has, and he just got the sack there, too, for him.
Had the interception, returned it for a touchdown. Ayton on the roll out to the right, and it's complete to Quincy Bierce.
Good for him.
Quincy Bierce's first reception of the season, and he gets back to the original line of scrimmage and maybe a yard more. Gains 8, and it'll be 4th and 9.
They're going to let the quarter run down here.
Yep. So there it is. So Granite City puts up 22 points in the third quarter and takes a 60-20 lead over the Silver Streaks into the fourth quarter on senior night at Van Dyke Field at F&M Bank Stadium on WGIL and WGIL.com.
If you're afraid of new car prices, Yem has just one thing to say.
Do not be afraid.
This is Justin Wright.
And Lauren West from Yem Auto Group.
With scary low payments and spectacular savings throughout the lot.
New 2019 Jeep Cherokee. You save over $4,800.
2018 Jeep Compass. As low as $199 a month.
Keepers, creepers. Don't be afraid. Shop Yem Auto Group.
North Henderson Street, Galesburg.
Hi, Danny Lipford here from Today's Homeowner. Are you ready to tackle some of those pesky projects around your home, but not sure where to start? All you need is a little help from the Today's Homeowner team. Tune in every week as we share tips and ideas while having a little fun along the way. Whether you're a beginner or a seasoned do-it-yourselfer, we'll provide you all the information you need to have the best-looking house on the block.
Today's Homeowner, Saturday mornings 9 to 11 on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Galesburg's Talk.
I'm Will Stephenson. If you vote outside the city of Galesburg and Knox County, your polling place may change. We'll talk about it Monday morning during Galesburg's Morning News on WGIL.
Silver Streaks punted away to start the fourth quarter. It's a high punt, but the Silver Streaks get a little yardage after it comes down and squirts downfield. Granite City will have the ball at their own 39-yard line to begin the fourth quarter, leading the Silver Streaks 60-20. So we can, as we work through the fourth quarter here, again, we don't want you to leave just because the game is out of reach. I want to remind you that we're going to talk with Silver Streaks assistant coach Jay Barshinger, who's retiring both as a coach and a teacher at the end of this school year. So this is his final game after 30-plus years involved in a number of sports, most notably football, but others as well. And we're going to visit with Jay and talk about some of his memories here at the end of the game. So we hope you'll stick around for that, as well as Coach Mike Washabaugh's closing comments in the post-game show as well, wrapping up his first season leading the Silver Streaks football program. We can start talking about Dave's Autobody Crunch Time Player of the Game candidates as we work through the fourth quarter here. Earlier in the game, in fact, even at halftime, there were signs and hopes that Streaks were going to make a game out of this and battle, but that third quarter just completely turned things around and went the exact opposite direction. Graham with the carry, and then did a flag get thrown in there late? Saw the official motion out of the corner of my eye, but I don't see a flag anywhere.
Guys, real surprised to see, you know, still the starting skill players for Granite City right now. And the clock's going to run down, and they're going to just keep running this thing for a little bit, take their time. Granite City doesn't huddle, as we've talked about before, but they're taking their time getting the play called. And the quarterback's been very deliberate.
9:45 to go on a running clock here in the fourth quarter. He's going to watch for the back judge to start counting. There he goes. So they take the snap away. Handoff goes to Graham again. Gain of a couple. I do see a quarterback warming up on the far side of the field. So depending on what the Streaks do offensively here on this next drive, unless they go for the
got to get Kobe back
first
up.
Down here.
He's back there to return this punt, and I'm not certain they're going to punt it.
I'm not either.
Well, this is the same formation they had with that rugby style before.
They at the 44.
Ran a guy in motion. Yeah. And if he has it, he's going to keep it
yep.
and go. No.
Steps to the right, and the quarterback kicks it downfield. Kobe's got no chance to return it. A low line drive out of bounds on the far side. Official still walking forward. He's going to say it went out at the 40-yard line. I think that was just a guess.
Brad, you mentioned the quarterback warming up over there. It appears to be Sebastian Turner for them, and he is a guy. He's a kid that played in a sophomore game, so that's a sophomore quarterback warming his arm. I really don't think he's going to throw the ball.
No.
Just a hunch.
I want to remind you, Fighting Illini football tomorrow here on WGIL. Illinois taking on Wisconsin. That's a 10 o'clock pregame show, 11 o'clock kickoff. Kobe Ramirez trying to bounce to the outside. Pinballed around as he gets bumped at the 40, the 44, the 45. Falls forward to about the 46-yard line for a gain of 6. And Kobe's still got a chance to get over 100 yards here with 8 minutes and counting. But the streak's down by 40 in his final game as a Silver Streak. And we'll certainly try to call off as many of the seniors' names here on this possession and on the defensive side of the ball if that's the way things turn out here late in the game. Ayton still in at quarterback. Hands off to the right side. Maybe a good heavy dose of Kobe here late on this drive as he carries sure. it to the Granite City 45-yard line to pick up 8.
And that was back to our belly play. That's our bread and butter we've had for the whole season.
He's up to 83 yards now.
Yeah.
From the Granite City 45-yard line. Kobe had a rushing touchdown earlier in the game. He had a catch and run for a touchdown earlier in the game. Now we got a flag on the far side of the field. They gave the water cooler dump to their head coach.
Yep. Now they're going to get a sideline warning for it.
They're going to get a wow. Well,
they were off the field.
They had about 8 guys who came out of the field. As I think he must have seen it coming at the last instant and tried to step away from it and. The momentum of the action took them out onto the field, and they were just out there a little too long, apparently, for the officials' liking over there.
Yeah, and all the while, the clock runs.
Down to 6:40 to go and a 40-point Granite City lead. Ayton brings the team set. Hands off to Kobe left. Cuts upfield, trying to bounce to the outside. Run down at the 41-yard line for a pickup of 4. Kobe's up to 87 yards now. Sure, the Streaks would like to get him to 100 yards plus in his final game of the season. And the final game is a Silver Streak. He has 53 yards receiving, so he's over 100 yards in total offense. Sure, they'd like to get him another 100-yard rushing game. Kobe came into the night 754 yards on the season, so he'll finish well short of 1,000. Streaks line up in the eye, 2 wideouts to the right. They hand off to him again. Has a little bit of a hole to the right side. Backpedals his way inside the 35 to the 32-yard line. And he'll pick up 9 more. And he's up to 96 yards now. So another run like that, and he'll get the century mark tonight.
I wonder, you know, how many times in a row do you think he'll get the ball? Like, what's the over-under on that right now?
He might be
all the way to the goal line.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Quincy Beerus is still out there. He just got his first reception of the season on the Streak's last possession. Here's Kobe again with a handoff getting to the outside. He gets the corner to the 35, the 20. Down
They're
to the 10-yard line, 5-yard line, and Kobe takes it all the way to the goal line, as we said just a moment ago. And a 32-yard touchdown as the clock continues to roll. His second rushing touchdown of the night and his third overall. That gives him 128 yards on the ground tonight. A 5-play Kobe Ramirez drive covers 60 yards. And James Hayden, another senior, in for the extra point attempt. Streaks don't have enough men on the field, so Taflinger runs in from the sideline. Lines up right. Ayton gets the hold down. The kick
got it.
Gets inside the left upright. And 60-27 is your score. Well,
last touchdown, Hilbert Ramirez became the touchdown leader for the Silver Streaks.
There's Jeff Lamb, public address announcer, saying what you had speculated earlier.
Yep.
Jake, he's all alone, Kobe is.
34 rushing touchdowns.
With the official Silver Streaks record, 34 rushing touchdowns in a very good career. 2 years ago on that 8-3 team, that first playoff victory for the Silver Streaks in their history, Kobe was a sophomore on that team. He wasn't the primary running back, but that's where he got his start on the varsity.
Yeah, turned some heads. You know, a lot of people weren't really thinking of a sophomore coming up and with that team and being successful, and really got some traction there. And that's, you know.
Well, yeah, ahead, Jake. On that team, he was a great change of pace. Because if you remember, it was DeAndre that was getting the bulk of the work. And Kobe was such a different runner than DeAndre. You know, DeAndre was straight ahead, run you over. And Kobe came in and gave a little, you know, swing and miss ability. You know, as a runner. So he was a fantastic change of pace on that, you know, which turned out to be, you know, one of the great Silver Streaks teams.
And to go off of that, we also had DeAndre was playing defense. And
right.
what you're able to do is you cut back some of the reps because you can share the duty on offense, and then he's able to focus some on defense as well then.
Yeah. And Cody worked well in the return game too. He was the kick returner, the punt returner, and also saw some time at free safety and in certain packages that year, too, on defense. So, you know, you really need – we're seeing it this year, guys. You really need two, you know, major threats back there. You know, teams have been able to key in on Kobe this year, and he's had that rough go in terms of the big numbers. He's still putting up the touchdown numbers. And I was wondering, on that 34, he said rushing touchdowns. I wonder if – meant total touchdowns, because certainly there have been a few of Kobe's touchdowns that have been, like we saw today, on the receiving end of on the screen passes and stuff like that. But, you know, maybe it is rushing touchdowns. I'd have to look at that.
Yeah, he's got 11 alone this year.
Yeah.
Two games where he scored four. Now, the Streaks kicked the ball out of bounds.
They're saying the guy touched it on his way out of bounds.
First.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So why is the ball back at the five?
That's where he touched it?
Yeah,
that's
where he touched it. Yeah,
he touched it, and then it ambled out of bounds. Mm-hmm. You know, here Streaks trying to run guys back in, and they had to take a timeout here to get guys into the ball game.
With a minute 58 to go, I would just like to say my thanks again to you guys. It's been a pleasure having you back with us for a second season this year doing this job. I wish it had been better than 1-8, but nevertheless. I truly appreciate your insight, Sean from up here in the booth, Jake from down at the sideline, your offensive, your defensive knowledge of the game, and just the things that you see that I'm just trying to focus on the ball and let our listeners know how the play is, how it's unfolding, but then you guys then being able to give the insight in terms of why it unfolded like it did, and I appreciate all of your valuable insight that you've provided again for a second season here. It's been fun.
Well, I think I speak for Jake, too, in the fact that, you know, we appreciate the opportunity to come up here and do these games. You know, it's fun. This is our sophomore season together, if you will, to come out and do these games. And, you know, and I've talked about all season, we have a lot of positive things on the horizon for Galesburg football, and it's really something to be looking forward to.
So we'll get this snapped away at a minute 58 here as the Streaks defense charges in, and that play goes for no gain on first down here. Let's see. I see Mason Valley out there. Kobe Ramirez. Who else?
What other seniors do we still have out there?
Cody Thomas Demetrius. Is out there. Derek Pettis is out there.
Is that 87? Is that
Quincy Beers?
Quincy Beers is out there.
Elias Giles is out
Cody.
There.
Cody Thomas.
I mean, there's some juniors out there, too, but we're trying to focus on the seniors who are getting their final reps for the Silver Streaks here with a minute 19 to go. It'll be 3rd and 8 coming up here. Again, we'll talk to assistant coach Jay Barshinger after we talk with head coach Mike Washabaugh for the final time and final time this season for the first-year head coach, and then a visit with Jay Barshinger for the final time. As the officials throw a flag, that does not stop the clock.
What's he doing?
And
the game's going to end.
Somebody lined up in the neutral zone for Granite City. Was that just a tactic on third and nine just to,
I don't know,
make the clock roll a little bit more?
He blew it in at 28, though. So you got to run it.
So the sophomore quarterback whom Sean mentioned earlier looked like a miscommunication on the snap. He's going to roll it to the right side. And
that'll be it.
And that will be the final play of the season.
Good season, gentlemen.
As Granite City with the water dump on the head coach on the far side because they are in the playoffs at 5-4. We'll take a timeout. We'll talk with Mike Washabaugh when we come back in our visit with Streaks assistant coach Jay Barshinger, who's retiring after this season as well. Stay tuned for our postgame coming up on WGIL and WGIL.com.
You just crashed your car, had an accident, and you don't know what to do.
Dave's Auto Body.
You better call Dave's.
If your business utilizes equipment with air filters and dust collectors, let Midstate Manufacturing save you money. Filter Service Center, part of Midstate, specializes in the sale and service of every kind of filter. And they clean them too, which provides 95% efficiency at half the price of replacement. Get on their delivery route today.
Silver Streaks Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by McDonald's in Galesburg and Knoxville. I'm loving it. By Galesburg Nissan on North Henderson Street, home of the lifetime warranty. By Kehoe Eye Care. They care for people, not just eyes. By Midstate Manufacturing, the headquarters for any of your steel material fabrication or powder coating needs. By Courtright Construction of Oneida, the right choice for your next project. By Dave's Auto Body in Galesburg, you better call Dave's. Silver Streaks Football is also brought to you by Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating in Galesburg. You deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. By Yem Auto Group on North Henderson in Galesburg, home to Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram. Say yes to Yem. By Kratty Insurance Agency, your local Rockford Mutual Insurance Agency in Galesburg. By Century 21 on North Henderson in Galesburg, your local leader in real estate. By Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. And by the all-new Galesburg Toyota, the dealership everyone is talking about. Proud to bring you GHS Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Kobe, is crunch time for...
Sure.
Postgame here on WGIL, we're going to talk quickly with head coach Mike Washabaugh because we know he wants to get to the locker room, and we have another special interview coming up as well. Streaks fall tonight 60-27, and our postgame coach's interview is brought to you by Kratty Insurance, your local Rockford Mutual Insurance Agency in Galesburg. Go ahead, Jake.
Okay, I got Coach Washabaugh with me for the final time tonight this season. Coach, obviously not the way you wanted things to wrap up for the last game. One positive note, though, definitely we want to mention, want to get your thoughts on is Kobe becoming the all-time leader. You've been here for all of that, and as a play caller in the last couple of years, and obviously again this year, you know, just your thoughts on at least that one positive note we can talk about tonight.
Yeah, I'm happy for him. You know, he had some time stolen from him as a sophomore at the ankle, and then, you know, the Sumner game, UT game, didn't get second halves. So I was happy knowing that he was lingering close for that, you know, and the effort that he ran with tonight, you know, matches, you know, the 34 touchdowns he ended up with. You know, I'm very happy for the young man.
Obviously the story, you know, tonight is the play of the playmaker for Granite City, their quarterback. You know, what is it that he's just physically able to do that it just seemed like we would hit him in the backfield and the broken record all night as we could have a chance to make a play. Unfortunately, he was able to just kind of slip through and then obviously make some couple big gainers.
Yeah, we struggled to tackle, you know, in the box, in the open field, you know, and I take that one. That's me not having them prepared to be physically ready to play a playoff team of this caliber, and we struggled all night. You know, it wasn't one thing. It was just a continuous, and it wasn't one guy. It was just continually poor tackling, you know, and I take responsibility for that.
So, you know, the final question is, and you, I know you don't have a lot of time to think about this, but in your first season, there's got to be some sort of big picture that you have in your mind, and the message that you're going to talk to your guys, to the seniors that are going to leave, and then to the juniors that, you know, you're going to bring back. You know, have you thought about that? What is the message you want to try to deliver, and what kind of things did you think you got established this year under your first season as head coach?
You know, we talked about constant growth throughout the entire year, you know, and I thought there was kind of peaks and valleys of that. We struggled out of the gate, clearly. But I thought we were able to, you know, outside of the Moline game, we were able to continually grow on offense. Defensively, we did struggle, you know, all year with tackling and just taking care of, some of those things. And the kids not giving up. You know, I don't think outside of, probably the end of the game tonight, which, whenever that last one sets in, whether it's a playoff game or it's a week 9 game, it gets surreal at that point, and we got kind of on skates there towards the end. You know, I don't think we coached effort throughout the entire year. I thought the kids played hard. They prepared, respected everybody, all the pillars of our program that we talk about. You know, we just came up short, 8 times, which is unacceptable. But going forward, we did get a lot of experience. I mean, we graduated, I think, with 12 seniors around the field in 9. So there's a lot of key guys that are returning that had to play meaningful downs this year and big time reps. So those key guys, they've been in the fire, so there's no excuse of expectation, things like that.
All right, Coach, I just want to tell you thank you, for talking with us after every game, and good luck to you and delivering the message tonight. I appreciate it.
Yep, thank you.
Jake, stay with us here because okay. we're gonna keep it right here as we've got another special person to bring in, and that's Assistant Coach Dave Barshinger, who's done this many times with us over the years, and we appreciate
it's
you doing
while,
it again
yes.
at halftime with us this season. It was fun right. to have you back here. The word that I think Coach Washabaugh mentioned was a little bit surreal, when you get kind of this part of the season.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
Well, good. You know, it really hasn't set in yet. I was surprised by the pregame thing. I didn't know that was coming. It kind of set me up for that. I was just ready for the team to come running out, and all of a sudden. So that was nice. I appreciated that. And the Register Mail had the article, and so I've heard from former players and coaches. And so that's been nice.
How does one reach this decision? Just because you're retiring as a teacher doesn't necessarily mean I'm sure you'd be more than welcome to stick around on the football staff as long as possible. Tell us a little bit about how you reached that decision.
You know, I don't know. It just feels like the time's right. I really can't answer that. It wasn't like I woke up one day and said no. The next day I said yes. It's like I said, it's been great. I've really enjoyed my time here. I love the game of football. My family's been really supportive of me, and a lot of my time away from them and those kinds of things. And I don't know. It's just one big picture, I guess.
So many times, and Sean and Jake can attest to that, in order to do what you do, how important that family support is to be able to do that. What do you kind of take away, not necessarily from this season, but just being a part of Silver Streaks football? Just what does that mean to you overall?
Well, you know, football's such a great game. Teams come together, and you win some, you lose some. But the idea is you're building on something, and you're counting on your teammates, and you're counting on getting better, and you're working through things. And all that stuff is just a whole factor in life. And I just think that it's been such a great game, and it's been so good to me over the years that, you got to look outside the box and say, yes, would I have liked us to win more games? Absolutely. And we worked hard at those things. But I just have so many positive memories about the game and my 33 years here in Galesburg.
Jake?
Yeah, I just, Sean and I have coached with you and we've been to your home and eaten the food that your wife, Cindy, has made for us. And we've watched, Kyle and Anna grow up, out here. And it's just, this is, you think about the memories, and when Sean and I talk about the memories, it's the coaches that we hung out with and the players and the relationships that you build. Coach, is there one, this might put you on the spot a little bit, but is there one memory, is there one thing, that sticks out to you that you recall that when you look back, that this was something that is going to be, something that you look back, you remember fondly, just one game or a play or a season? Is there anything you could talk about in that regard?
Well, that's hard because, there's so many fond memories and I've worked with so many great coaches, that I've coached some guys who all of a sudden I've coached with later on, and that's been great. It's hard to tell. I think obviously beating Peoria High when they're undefeated was a huge win for us. Mm-hmm. The overtime win against Quincy to win the conference was a huge game. That was a lot of fun. Obviously, our first playoff win in school history was a lot of fun. So I can't really just say that there's one thing. There's just so many positives that, you kind of build on over the seasons.
Well, and I know this season, this game, didn't certainly go the way you wanted to do in your last year. But even tonight, with Kobe setting the touchdown record, yeah. There's even something special you can look back
absolutely. On, too. And like I said, this is not how any of us wanted to end the season. And we're kind of disappointed. But, you know, if you look back at the positives that this team took, you know, we had a lot of injuries and a lot of people sitting on the sideline not dressed. And these guys just battled. And they got better day in and day out. And they came to practice and they worked hard. And, geez, you can't ask any more from a kid than that. And that's, those are the positives that's going on there. Obviously, you know, only winning one game, we'd like to have won more. But there's a possibility that, you know, eight of the games that we played, those guys will make the playoffs.
Rock Island's in. Now, granted, I mean, those were the teams that were all on the border tonight.
I'm not sure that Geneseo can beat my Barbs tonight.
No, they did not.
I wouldn't, you know how the Barbs are.
Yeah.
I got to say I was rooting for my Barbs tonight.
Yeah.
That's an unbelievable schedule.
Yeah.
That many great teams and a great conference, and our kids have nothing to be ashamed of.
And nor do you. And the word that keeps coming up tonight as people talk about you is mentor, leader, class, individual. I mean, all these words just repeatedly from all different people who talk about you, and you leave a fantastic legacy, and we thank you for what you've done for the kids here, for the program, for the school district, and for us here on the radio on all the years we've worked with you as well. So, Jay, congratulations to you.
Thank you. Absolutely. It's been great. I've heard from a lot of former players and guys I've coached with, and it's overwhelming. That's been great, and I've appreciated each and every one of them.
Jay Barshinger, assistant coach for the Silver Streaks. We're going to take a break here on the postgame and go through the things we have to do here in the postgame, statistics, player of the game, and so on when we come back. As you're listening to Silver Streaks postgame coverage on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Well, how's the house selling going?
Not good. We've only had 2 showings and 0 offers. It's been a month. How long did it take to sell yours?
Not long, but we used Century 21. Each listing gets its own website, video virtual tour, and a link to share, so your house gets tons of publicity.
That would help.
They have the largest office in town with 19 agents. They will get your house sold.
For over 60 years, your friends and neighbors have gone with Century 21 Tucker Swanson. When you're ready to buy or sell, visit Century21Gillsburg.com or call 34Homes today.
You know how sometimes I try to save money and get burned?
Here we go.
I went to a low-cost eye care place and got an exam and some cheap glasses, but I started getting headaches and I felt like I couldn't see anything.
Shocker.
So I go to Kehoe Eye Care, like I should have to begin with, and turns out my prescription was completely wrong. And I have an eye health condition that the other place totally missed.
Lesson learned, sister.
Don't learn the hard way. Get the best possible eye health and vision care with the latest technology, available only at Kehoe Eye Care.
At Kehoe Eye Care, we care for people, not just eyes.
Stay connected with Galesburg anywhere you go. Galesburg's local news is always online at WGIL.com.
Silver Streaks fall to Granite City tonight, 60-27. The Warriors are playoff eligible and have enough playoff points to get into the postseason. They'll find out tomorrow where they'll be going and who they will be playing when the IHSA releases all of the postseason pairings. Our postgame statistics brought to you by Century 21, your local leader in real estate. Freddie Edwards, the quarterback for Granite City, finished with 15 rushes for 233 yards and 4 touchdowns tonight. He didn't throw a single pass in the second half, but he didn't have to. In the first half, he was 5 for 12 with 3 touchdowns and 119 yards. So he was directly involved with 7 touchdowns overall for Granite City tonight. And just between the rushing and the passing, 352 yards of offense. Richard Graham had 9 carries, 45 yards. Jerry Watson, 9 carries for 49 yards. Receiving, Jerry Watson had a 49-yard catch for a touchdown. Aaron Barnett had a 10-yard touchdown reception. Reed Wilson had a 41-yard touchdown reception. J.V. Wilson had 2 catches for 19 yards. For the Silver Streaks, Kobe Ramirez finishes his stellar Galesburg career, 19 carries for 128 yards and 2 rushing touchdowns, and he sets the record for most rushing touchdowns by a Silver Streak in his 3-year varsity career. Connor Ayton had a rushing touchdown tonight, finished in negative yardage, though, because of the tackles for loss. He did throw for 119 yards and a touchdown and also two interceptions. The touchdown, who else? Kobe Ramirez, 52 yards. It was really more of a catch and a run. Got into open field and did a lot of the work on his own. So really, overall, Kobe finishes with three touchdowns on the night, rushing touchdowns on the season, 11, and two touchdown receptions for his fantastic career. Those are our post-game statistics. The Streaks end the season 1-8. Sophomores won tonight 57-22. Back for a final word from Van Dyke Field after this final timeout on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Silver Streaks football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Office Specialists, providing solutions for your business. By Templeton Roofing, Galesburg's oldest and most experienced roofing contractor. Visit them at templetonroofing.com. And by Tom Irons and Accounting Systems on Simmons Street in downtown Galesburg.
They may as well call it Botox for your house. New siding can turn an outdated home into a total head turner. If you're ready to give your home's exterior a complete overhaul, call the visionaries at Courtright Construction of Oneida. Visit CourtrightConstruction.com, the right choice for your next project.
Are you a diehard sports fan?
Prove it! Head to the Athletic Holy Land. Bree loves sporting goods in downtown Kewaunee. They have uniforms for the team, athletic shoes, spirit wear, Letterman's jackets for all area schools, sports equipment, and they do custom lettering, screen printing. And of course, they carry all the hottest brands like Wilson, Rawlings, Louisville Slugger, Adidas, Holloway, Pro Celebrity, and more. And when it comes time to pay homage to your local sports stars, call Breed Loves for trophies, medals, signs, plaques, and awards. Breed Loves Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. Everything is sports.
A convenience store that's actually convenient. Crosstie Convenience at 2121 East Main Street in Galesburg is celebrating their grand opening all day tomorrow. So stop in and get a free Jones Soda or Farmer's Brothers coffee. Check out the new place and make note of all the cool things you're going to want to come back for, like the Jones Soda Fountain Machine, a great selection of 16-ounce beers, and all four flavors of Iron Spike Brew, plus snacks and such on the cheap. They even have booths in case you want to hang out for a bit and shoot the breeze. Crosstie Convenience across from Holiday Inn Express, Galesburg, now open.
The only thing the Democrats have, get rid of Republicans because power is ours.
The Rush Limbaugh Show, starting at 11 weekday mornings, WGIL.
60-27, Granite City defeats the Silver Streaks to wrap up Galesburg's season at 1-8. We haven't officially given our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game. We had some candidates tonight, but, I mean, gosh.
No-brainer.
A no-brainer.
Unanimous.
Right. So, Kobe Ramirez, and leaves quite a legacy. Hopefully he doesn't look back and, you know, think, well, 3-6 my junior year, 1-8 my senior year, and view it in those terms. Because what he did, being a marked man, I mean, mm-hmm. you know, everybody knew, all of the Silver Streaks opponents knew who was going to get the ball and who was going to get the ball most of the time, and still he accomplished what he accomplished and set the touchdown record here tonight.
Yeah, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. He has nothing in his career to be ashamed of. He continued to run hard, like Coach Wash said. Just the effort that it takes to score 34 touchdowns in a career, that's a lot of touchdowns. I mean, I got a few, but 34 is a lot, you know, and that's a three-year career. And he was a part of that playoff team. He was a significant part of that playoff team. So he has nothing to hang his head about. He was the highlight of the Silver Streak season this year.
Yeah, you know, and if I wanted to go further into that, you know, we've said a lot about Kobe. He's had a great career here, but, you know, it comes to an end. And tonight is a night of what's bittersweet, and Jake and I have been a part of a senior night. And you have guys that come in and they devote themselves to a program. They spend 4 years, or even if you want to look at their football career, that may go back to JFL or even earlier with something at the YMCA. And it's very difficult. It's bittersweet in the sense that, you know, the sting is going to be there. You didn't get a win. You got a loss. The season's over. So you have that sting. But the sweet part of it is it's a closing of a chapter. You get to start up, open a new chapter. Some guys will be going on to basketball next. Some guys may be going into swimming or whatever their adventures are going to be. And maybe it's not going to be until a springtime, or maybe this was it for them. But it closes a chapter in one part of their life, and the next one's going to open up for them. And there's nothing that's more bittersweet than to see the ending here and closure for Jay Barshinger.
Yep.
You know, you talk about someone who's put together many years. He's been through multiple senior nights. And you talk about people, for these seniors, maybe it's 4 years that they've devoted to the program, and, and the sting is there for them. The sting for Jay is 30-plus years, you know, and that's going to be
hard. And he goes through this every single year and sees these kids.
Right, but this is his departure.
That's right.
You know, and that's the bittersweet for him. So, you know, you have the sting of him walking away from this, the same feeling. It wasn't the victory like he wanted. He's leaving behind the legacy in his own right. As we're seeing, we're talking about Kobe here. Jay Barshinger is leaving behind the same legacy as well. And, you know, the sweet part for Jay is, you know, he's going to go on to girls basketball. He's going to coach that this winter.
Yep.
But he's retiring from work. And hopefully that opens up some doors for him as well as he moves on to his post-work life. And he goes into retirement, and he's able to spend more time with his family as they grow older, and particularly more time with his wife, Cindy.
Did you hear what Kyle said, what his plans are for his dad next summer?
I'm sure. What's that? I didn't hear it.
You got to get him a Bunker Links golf membership. Yep. And
he needs it, too, because he's not very good.
Well, I said to Kyle, you're going to go take the old man on in one-on-one and challenge him? And he said, oh, heck yeah.
He could use it. I tell you, and listen, we're talking Hall of Fame. And in my opinion, Coach Barshinger is a Hall of Famer, too.
I would agree.
You know, with what he's contributed to multiple programs here.
Yep.
Coaches do not coach as long as he does. Not anymore. And it's for a myriad of reasons. You know, guys like, you know, Sean's dad did it for so long, but that's the old way of doing things, and guys now don't do it. It's harder now, and for him to continue to put a career that long is a Hall of Fame career.
Well, and I made the comment, you don't do that without tremendous support,
of course,
of the family, and Cindy and Kyle were both up here, and as a reflection of that, and I mean, just saying that doesn't come anywhere close to expressing how important that family support is. So a credit to them as well for Jay doing it as long as he did, because it's a tremendous. It's an entire family sacrifice to do what people like Jay Barshinger do for so long.
Yeah, and Jake hit on the fact that it's hard to do now, because years ago it wasn't a year round deal.
Right.
You know, and so now we're at a point where Jay was able to do this as long as he did, and it's not just a 9-week season. Mm-hmm. You know, the off season starts the first week of December in most cases for the high school football program. You know, and for most of that, Jay was coaching the girls basketball. But as soon as that was over, guess where Jay was?
Right.
You know, he was in there for weights. He's in there for the spring workouts. By the time the school year ended, he was there for the summer workouts and the OTAs that they had going. Moving forward and getting prepared for their week one match that would be somewhere in the last week or so of August. And that whole time is not just a 9-week deal of going 1-8. You know, the devotion that goes into that and the time and preparation, the relationships that you make, those bonds cannot be taken away. And that's something that he gets to walk away from, you know, after 33 years and be satisfied and hopefully satisfied with the impact that he's had on Galesburg football.
Well, I'll say it again. I appreciate you guys giving that kind of time and devotion to what we do here as well, especially and not just showing up here on Friday night. It's the things you guys do behind the scenes to offer tremendous support for our broadcast as well. So thanks again to you guys, and I hope we can keep on doing it for a while.
Thank you.
You bet.
Enjoy your off season. And we'll close things out from here. Sean McCutcheon has been our broadcast engineer for pretty much the entire season. So he's been our guy at the downtown studios who's kept us on the air so that you folks listening at home can stick with us as well. So thanks to Sean McCutcheon. For Jake Miller, usually on the field. For Sean Hickey, usually to my right in the press box. I'm Brad Binowitz. Hope you enjoyed being with us for Silver Streaks football, despite the tough season, but as we've said many times, there's a lot to look forward here and a lot of positives on the way for the future of this program under the leadership of Mike Washabaugh. We'll close that out. Again, Silver Streaks girls basketball will be our next broadcast coming up in November with Tom Meredith, and the boys basketball season will get underway right around Thanksgiving as well. Hope you can be with us for those when we get underway. And until then, we're going to close out our broadcast season of Galesburg High School Sports for now. Have a good rest of your night, a good rest of your weekend, and we'll see you again in boys basketball season. Good night from Van Dyke Field.
Thanks for listening to GHS Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL, Galesburg Sports.